You said you were going to change that music, Chris. You said that that rubbish bit of Gnarls Barkley,
yes,
could be changed for Def Leppard. You said that yesterday.
And but I said I'd also let you down.
Oh yeah, you did say that. It's rubbish. It's rubbish. Dreadful. Hello then, and I bidst thou. Just stop it. It's just it's rubbish. hello then, and I bidst thou. You there, Squire. A fine welcome to this radio hostelry on an afternoon such as this. Come in, weary dial traveller, and rest a while. Pull yourself up and warm your parts on an advert while I serve to you the very finest foaming pint of news with a travel report chaser and perhaps some victuals for Sir or Madam. Some victuals. How about, I don't know, 3.5 hours of talking on the phone to mentals. Excellent! There are prostitutes upstairs as well. So, hello, and yes, it's Friday, the whatnot of thing, on LBC 97.3 frequency modulations, and here we are in the monkey house of 3 till 6.30 on the wireless. As ever, right now, the phone lines have burst open. You can call at least one of them on 0870 9090973. Chris is standing by to fend off your calls like they were First World War biplanes out of the 1933 version of King Kong. But if you phone, if you do phone, which you should do right now, by the way, I'm going to sit here till you do, 0870 9090973. If you phone, when he answers the phone and says, hello, LBC 97.3, say to him, you're a rubbish producer, Chris, for not getting Emma Bunton on yesterday. That's what we've got to say to him. Because he didn't let us down. Again. And then he'll put you through to me. Anyway, you can also text us, 84850, or email homes@lbc.co.uk. And for those of you who keep emailing to say, I typed your name into Google and porn came up, yes, yes, you're spelling the name wrong, I keep telling you this, right? It's J-O-N-H-O-L. M-E-S, not J-O-H. Anyway, settle back, kick off your attacker, and welcome to, that's right, me, John Holmes, on LBC 97.3.
London's LBC 97.3. John Holmes.
John, as it's Friday, I reckon Taxi Driver Challenge would be good. That's from Ryan in Battersea. Again. But no, Ryan, because here we go round the Mulberry Bush. A Mulberry Bush, of course, that's now seeking to find common ground with the Mulberry Democrats, spinning as we are towards today's show like a Jenny. So, just what is coming up on today's radio equivalent of a 52-year mortgage, I hear you cry. Actually, I obviously don't hear you cry that, of course, for a start. You don't have a microphone, a studio, a transmitter, and a licence to broadcast from Ofcom. But I will leave a gap so that you can cry it. What's coming up on today's radio equivalent for 2 years mortgage, I hear you cry. If you're on your own, your car, whatever, listening, wherever, just cry that now. There. There's a brand new mystery quiz, of course, a brand new mystery quiz for Friday, and it's called this. It's called Guess Who I Had in the Back of My Cab. And that's where a cab driver asks you to guess who he had in the back of his cab. Details later. Also, after the success, and when I say success, I mean failure, of Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell for the radio, Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio, and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland for the radio, today, at the request of Helen, there, we take a nostalgic trip back to the 80s for a game of Pac-Man. Not for the oversized pub machine, but for the radio. 0870 90 90 973, if you want to be Pac-Man for the radio and want to register for that. There's news, probably, during the afternoon with Claire Miller. Probably, I really haven't checked, because I wasn't listening at 3 o'clock. But anyway, there's made-up invented travel from the mouth of probably Alan Joyce. And also, probably, those slightly unpalatable trailers for Nick Ferrari where he says anus and penis. It's not nice. It's not a nice couple of trailers. Makes me feel a bit ill to listen to them. But anyway, that's probably coming up as well. All that bludgeoning its way towards you before now and 6.30. But first, I was going to tell you about this, because I stayed in a hotel last night. Yeah, that's right. Very sophisticated rock and roll me. Stayed in a hotel last night in central London. And the odd thing, and it's weird coincidence, because Chris and I were talking about this the other day. the bathroom in my hotel room had a glass door. Now, I think that's a bit weird. Chris mentioned this. Chris, you were saying this the other day, weren't you?
Yes.
That you went to, was it a friend's house that you went to and they had a glass bathroom door?
Yeah, it was a friend's house and they had a glass door. Just what you said.
Yeah, what I said, yeah. So what, tell again what you did.
And
because you're a bit embarrassed.
Of course, nature calls, so yeah. I went. But because I passed the toilet earlier that evening,
yeah.
I could see the silhouette of someone standing
doing
in
a toilet.
Front of a toilet.
Was it a party you were at or anything? Or
it was a social gathering.
Okay.
So to avoid that silhouette being me,
yeah.
So I went into that toilet, turned the lights off,
yeah.
And just used the light from the hallway.
Coming through the glass door.
Exactly. So no one could see me at all.
Mm. But did you question your host as to why he had a glass toilet door?
No, it was something that skipped my mind.
Think you should question it. But as you were telling me that the other day, you see, I was in this hotel last night, and I got into the room, and I put my bags down. And I went straight from this show last night, from here to the hotel. Put my bags down, turned around, thought, it's a glass toilet door. That's real. After what you were saying, I thought, that's really weird, isn't it? Maybe not so weird in a hotel room. Although, you know, if you're in there with someone, then it's still, you know, modesty needs to be preserved. But it's a bit weird. Why do people make glass toilet doors? I really don't understand it. I mean, 0870 9090973. I don't know why there are glass toilet doors. Chris doesn't know. I dare say Helen doesn't know either. Why? Who had the idea to make a glass toilet door? And I was thinking about it, and it's not only the hotel I was in last night as well. There's a club in London, and I can't remember which club it is. I can't remember the name of it. But I've been to it, and I was pretty drunk, so that's why I don't remember it. But
Madam Jojo's.
Is it Madam Jojo's?
I'm just guessing.
Oh, right, thanks. There's a club in London that has, and this is, I'm told this by ladies in the club. If you're a gentleman, and you go in to the toilet, to the urinal, go in. You're standing at the urinal, as you would. It's a wall of urinal. Fine, nothing wrong with that. It's a glass urinal. It looks like glass. It's quite trendy. From the other side, two-way glass. You are weeing up a window into the ladies' toilet.
Can you see in the ladies' toilet?
Yeah, the lady. It's a glass wall, Chris, from that side. So all the men are standing there going to the toilet. From the ladies' side, that's just like they're weeing up a window into the ladies' toilet. But you don't know. From the men's side, it's a trick window.
So they can see your thing?
That's right. They can see your pinkle.
That's foul.
It's not right, is it? That is not right. If we men put cameras in the toilet, we'd get in terrible trouble. But apparently that's fine. Apparently.
I couldn't go if I knew they were watching.
Exactly. That's why we don't know that they're watching. Because I can't go. Actually, that is weird, isn't it? You've hit on something there as well. I'm one of these people. Maybe you are too. I don't know. As a man, I can't go. It's quite difficult to go when other people are in the toilet, in the, you know, public toilet, in the urinal area. It's quite difficult to go. I can't concentrate. I'm sort of going, feel a bit awkward, so I have to go in a cubicle. Mate, is that just me? We started the week on toilets, we come back to toilets again, it's weird. But anyway, 0870 9090973. Can you go to the toilet if other people are there? Chris, can you?
No.
Okay. Let's establish that then. Glass wall. And also, there's a restaurant in London called The Crazy Bear. It's in Whitfield Street.
Yeah.
And that's got a thing whereby you've got to wash your hands in a, what is it, like a trough sink. And as you're doing that, the sink backs onto the ladies' toilet again, but you don't know. And then all of a sudden, someone's hands come through from the other side and grab your hands. Weird London toilets is what I'm saying. We talked about the one in Sarastro, a restaurant in Aldwych. Near the Aldwych Theatre, the other day as well, that has pornography all over the walls of the toilet. Don't know why. Weird toilets, why are there glass doors on toilets? Can you go to the toilet when other people are standing there as a man? Obviously women, get it easy. 0870 90 973 if you do wish to call us. This is LBC 97.3. And is it Alan?
It is.
Yes.
Yes.
Good work, Alan.
Okay. Three words to describe.
John Holmes. Yes. We're toilets then. I stayed in a hotel last night that had a glass toilet door, which is fine, because, you know, didn't get lucky. So I was kind of on my own. So I was looking, you know, but I was thinking, that's weird, because see yourself on the toilet, see other... It's just weird. Anyway, there are glass toilet doors. Chris has found one in someone's house. It's a bit strange. Especially if you can't go if someone's watching. Piers, hello.
Hi there, John. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Where are you calling from?
From Esher.
Esher?
Yeah.
Okay. What, can you just spell that for me?
E-S-H-E-R.
Correct. Well done. So, what do you do, Piers?
I work for IBM.
Oh, IBM?
Yeah.
What do you do for them?
I'm a salesman.
Right. How is it?
It's good, actually.
Is it? You on commission, or is it, like, you know, wages?
Yeah, no, it's commission.
Ah, you're good at it, though.
I don't know. I worked for them for a while, and then I went off to their competitors, and I've just come back, so it must be good.
That's fine. Do you, you work on the road? Obviously, you don't work, you know, this has to be a sort of on-the-road sales job, does it, driving around?
Yeah, quite a lot, yeah.
Because if you're doing IT, which I assume it is...
Yes.
Right? Wouldn't it be good, considering IT's all like working from home, Piers? Wouldn't it be good to actually do your salesman job working from home? Couldn't you invent a sort of way... Couldn't IBM come up with a way of you being able to do your job about IT from home? Because that's what IT's for. It enables people to work
from home. Yeah, that's exactly what I do. I try to work from home sort of a couple of days a week.
Isn't working from home brilliant?
It is fantastic.
I wish they put this studio in my
house.
But
you can't do it in your line of work, can you?
No, well, you know, this is what's stupid, Piers, to be honest. Because I was thinking about this, right? And I'm lazy and I don't like going out of my house. So, but I'm forced to come here, to what is essentially a really dodgy area of London to do this. Okay? So, it's cheap. You know why they're here? It's cheap. But I like working from home. I do a lot of writing for stuff and... things, right? And I can do that from home, and I like doing it from home. And I got to think, isn't it the best thing in the world, really, working from home? And because this is radio, Piers, surely I could be sitting here in the studio where I am, but I could also equally be sitting at home. It'd sound the same, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So what's the problem? Why not?
I'm sold on it.
See? You work 2 days a week at home, you say?
Yeah.
What do you do then? How does that work if you're probably selling stuff?
Well, to be honest, most of the time you're selling on the phone, or there's an awful lot of admin that goes with any kind of IT sales these days. So the other 3 days you can spend in front of a customer, and you can get an awful lot done that way.
Do you really work from home, or do you say you are but skive like everyone probably does?
No, to be honest, I tried doing the working from the living room, mm-hmm. and it doesn't work. You end up with Sky News on in the background,
yes,
or something daft like
exactly.
that. So I've built an office at home.
You built an office?
Yeah.
Out of what?
Wood. Bricks.
You're a builder as well?
No, I've got a man to do it.
Oh, obviously, yeah. I'm rubbish at DIY.
Yeah, me too.
I am the worst, but I got a man to come and fix. I've got a security light outside, and it didn't work. And I thought, oh, the bulb's gone, but it's really high up. I haven't got a ladder, right? And so I got a man to come and do it, because he had a ladder. And I couldn't reach it. And I thought, well, I could go and get a ladder, but no, right. But, you know, while he was there, he was doing other stuff as well. But I made him go and just change a bulb, essentially. Isn't that the laziest DIY you've ever heard, making someone else change a bulb for you?
I actually think there's more and more of us like it these days, because either we haven't got the time or we just don't have the inclination.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I got a friend, Alan, and when he moved into his flat in Isleworth, he's so lazy and so rubbish at DIY, he got a man to come around and put his pictures up. How? Is that the laziest thing you've ever heard, Piers? Is it?
Well, the alternative is to go minimalist and just don't have the pictures.
Don't have anything. But I mean,
the reason I phoned you, though.
Of course, sorry, I went down a route of. But we've opened another phone-in thing there. And I think I like that, Piers. I like the fluid way it happens. Crap DIY. How lazy are you? 0870-90973. How lazy are you that you what's the laziest bit of DIY you haven't been asked doing? What you've made someone come down? How rubbish are you at DIY? 0870-90973. Perhaps you've cut your own leg off by accident in a DIY accident. So call us 0870-90973. Anyway, Piers, sorry, toilets, go on.
Yeah, stage fright. There's a bar in Esher,
mm-hmm.
one that was reputedly where Chris Tarrant got a hard time recently, but it's about a, they've got a urinal in the gent,
yeah.
which is a one-way mirror, but yeah. it's a cocktail bar. So you're literally standing there Ooh. With people on the other side of the glass.
Having cocktails.
Having cocktails.
Cocktails in more ways than one.
Yeah, I don't like the idea.
Yes, to be honest with you. You wouldn't yeah. want to be ordering the wrong sort of cocktail when that was happening, would you?
No, that's
not nice. That's awful. Have you been there?
Yes.
And you know this is true. Have you seen?
Absolutely. Yeah. Funnily enough, it's where half the Chelsea boys go out and play cocktails in the evening. So it's a weird place.
That is a weird place.
It's weird because of the urinal.
That is weird. And so presumably it catches out people who don't know that it's there. Regulars know that it's there.
Yeah. The first time that I saw it, I obviously ran out again and thought, what on earth kind of a place is this? And then you realise that the people, theoretically, the people on the other side of the mirror
yeah.
can't see through. But you're not going to get too close to have a look.
It's not
just
nice.
In case you can.
Oh, what an awful... See, this is it. There's that club in London. It's a terrible idea. I mean, glass toilet doors, Piers. What's the point of them?
Well, I was listening and talking to Chris just now and trying to understand what on earth possesses some designer to come up with that idea.
Yeah, I know. It beggars me. What you might as well have, in some pubs and clubs have a toilet upstairs.
Right.
On the, you go upstairs.
You're not going with a glass. No.
Do you see what I'm saying?
No.
Like a glass ceiling, maybe, in the area. So when they're, sitting in the, it's not nice.
No.
But, obviously it's the way it's going. Perhaps it's a trendy thing, Piers.
Yeah.
Maybe the poor DIYers amongst us.
No, I'm with you on it. I can't get my head around it at all. And
it's not right.
I don't see the logic.
No. Piers, thank you, though.
Okay, mate.
For sharing. So there you go. Place in Esher that has a very, very similar toilet to the one I was talking about. There's a text come in here. It says, John and Chris. This is to both of us, Chris. John and Chris, I bet you each, that's both of us, £10. This is from David in Surrey. I bet you each £10 that Jonathan phones up about the glass wall toilet thing and is positively salivating at the idea.
Who texted that in?
David from Surrey, Jonathan. He texted that, and what's happened? You phoned up.
I've got a better one than actually, but before I go back to the toilet, I'm still laughing actually about the idea of somebody doing do-it-yourself and cut their leg off.
Mm.
But they're no good at DIY, so they wouldn't be able to make themselves a wooden leg, would they?
Of course. You'd have to get a man in to do that as well.
Yes.
I'm
always getting a man in.
In and out, I've heard.
Anything, yeah, because I'm useless at DIY, seriously.
I know. What's your worst... Have you ever actually tried it, though?
I had this piece of wallpaper, and I'd forgot to size it onto the wall. Where they put that stuff where you move it around. And it was the last bit of wallpaper of this company, and they discontinued it, and I put my hand straight through it, so I never did it again.
That's just,
I just get a man in to do it for me.
Well, I know you do, but you have an ulterior motive.
Yeah, probably. The other thing is about toilets you were talking about, the funniest ones, don't you think, you've been to America, have you?
I have been to America, yeah.
Well, there are toilets where you sit down, don't you?
Jet setter me.
They don't actually have big doors, do they? So
no, they cut them off and they cut, those saloon doors, aren't they?
Yeah, and you go in, and there's people, you can see people's faces. I can't cope with that.
I bet you love it, really, don't you?
No, the other one was a bar in San Francisco called the Sailor's Arms.
Yeah.
And in that one, they had mirrored urinals. So they had a big truck, but it was all mirrored.
That's just horrible. Look, I've got to take a quick break, but Jonathan, stay there. Jonathan there, falling into the sailor's arms, it seems.
Big booms.
So, weird toilets around the world, glass doors or otherwise, 08709090973. This afternoon, we will be playing a new mystery quiz called Guess Who I Had in the Back of My Cab. It's where we've got a cabbie, and you have to guess who he had in the back of his cab. That details of that will be coming up in the next half an hour. Also, we're playing Pac-Man, not for the big pub machine, but for the radio this afternoon. If you want to play, register to play. Again, details later. 08709090973. We're going to news next. News with Claire Miller. But I will be talking to Jonathan in Hammersmith about American toilets and him falling very much into the sailor's arms. Hello. John, the reason your toilet door had a, was made of glass in your hotel last night was because it was a cheap hotel in King's Cross, no doubt. That's from Mike. No, actually, Mike, it wasn't. I'm not that sort of tawdry person. But speaking of that sort of tawdry person, Jonathan, hello, you still there?
It was funny, actually, because I'd said, like, me and my mate, I said, oh, let's just for a bit of fun, let's go to a straight bar, just for a change.
Just for a change to a straight bar, I love
that. Yeah, and could we find one in San Francisco, and we end up in this one.
Yeah.
And I went to go to Lou, and I thought, what are all these mirrors doing? I couldn't cope with that, I have to be honest, so...
It is, so the just to recap, the urinal itself...
Yeah, it was like a long trough.
But was a, actually a mirror.
And it was all mirrored.
So you're just looking
at it. And it was full of ice.
Full of ice?
Yeah, the Americans have ice in everything. I do love the Americans, I must say, but they have ice in everything.
Yeah. Well, I can understand it in cocktails. We mentioned cocktails earlier. Don't, by the way, get excited at the word cocktails, Jonathan.
No.
It's just a drink.
No.
So, okay. And they got ice in the... Because normally we have that, you know, blue stuff. What is it? Blue chunks of...
That's it, blue...
Whatever
blue,
that is.
Yeah,
what is
blue.
What is that? Actually, what is that blue stuff? You know, and I've not seen that for a while. You can get yellow version as well, can't you?
Yeah.
What is it?
I think, isn't it a disinfectant that dissolves?
I suppose it must be, mustn't it?
And disinfects. Probably takes away nasty nips as well, I expect.
True, but don't you, as a man, Jonathan, and I'm assuming you are one.
Yes.
Right? Don't you, as a man, if you go to the toilet, just aim for that?
I do. I am a bit of an aimer. I am a bit of an aimer. I have to destroy anything in the urinal. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't say that on the radio.
No, probably best you don't.
A graffiti I saw once on the wall. No, this is a bad. This is acceptable. It's, I was in a loo in a gay bar, and it said on the wall somebody written, "My mum made me homosexual." Underneath it said, "If I give her the wall, will she make me one?"
Toilet graffiti. You see, there used to be books of this. Was it Nigel Rees's graffiti? It was so rubbish, because obviously it was all a bit lame, whereas the actual interesting graffiti in toilets, as you say, isn't repeatable on the radio, but it's often very fun.
But I think they're quite inventive, though. I have to say, some of them are quite good. You don't get it so much now.
What, graffiti?
I don't really.
No, you don't. I used to do a thing where, you know when in toilets that, I used to do a thing in toilets, listen to me. Don't get excited, but you know when people in, does this happen in women's toilets? Well, gents' public toilets, you go in, and often written on the walls of the cubicles are numbers, mobile phone numbers.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Just saying, you know, meet me here for rude thing can't say, right? Tomorrow at 5, I will do rude thing can't say. And a number. So I should do it here, Chris, shouldn't we? But I did this before. On a late night show that I did on another station, I just would ring those numbers up live on air just to see who answered.
Oh, what, really?
Oh, yeah, just genuinely ring them up. Because on the grounds that, because there's all sorts of broadcasting laws about not being able to broadcast people's voices without their permission.
Right.
And you have to tell them that they're live on the radio if you do that sort of thing now. However, my argument against that was that, well, they put their number on a toilet wall, therefore they're advertising, therefore I can ring it on the radio. And so I did. And people would answer it, and what it turned out to be a lot of the time was, and again, I think I've talked about this before, but it turned out to be the numbers that people had written in of their exes and stuff, just to get their revenge.
Just to get their own back.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. What a clever trick.
Clever trick. And I rang a man, this bloke answered the phone when I did it once. You know, it was 1 in the morning, right? And I did it live on the radio, we dialed the number. It rang, you know, 10 times. A girl answered, and I said, oh, I'm ringing because, you know, this number was on a toilet wall.
Right.
And she said, what? You know, 2 in the morning, bit of sleep. And I said, yeah. And she said, oh. And she went, oh, it's my boyfriend you want. And I handed the phone.
To
a boyfriend who woke him up and said, there's someone on the phone for you. I then said to him, is this your number? Yeah. Did you write that you want to do rude thing to truckers, in a toilet? And he basically threatened to kill me with a gun.
What if you were in America, in Los Angeles, you saw a number on a wall, you rang it up and it was somebody well known, or I won't mention.
What go on, mention it.
George Michael.
George Michael?
Could you imagine that, getting his number? Wow, that'd be, he's lovely though, isn't he?
Actually, I've got a text here that says, why don't you ring George Michael? He's an expert on public toilets, he could talk to you.
Yeah. Well, it's an old thing, isn't it, of the gay world years ago. Something I've never been into. They used to call it cottaging.
Cottaging, yeah.
But, I was not. And the other thing was, do you remember you were talking about interesting things to put in a salad? I think it was Paul, this was a few days ago.
Yeah, oh God, yeah. And it was how we ended the show, wasn't it? It was someone making a salad, and it had to be an interesting salad. What would you put in a salad to make it interesting? Yeah.
Gerbils.
Yeah.
Gerbils. Definitely. Yeah, because you know you could call it, couldn't you? Richard Gere's gerbil salad. Because...
you're not going to repeat a libel about Richard Gere, that'd be,
No, I better not mention anybody's name. But didn't Paul Newman do salad dressings, didn't he?
Paul, God, he did, didn't he?
He did, yeah, they've all been up to it.
So you're right, Richard Gere could do a...
Yeah, not that...
rodent-based dressing. Which might be a bit strange, I've no idea.
Dodgy, yeah. I'll have a gerbil salad, please. Well, you can have... I had a rabbit salad the other day.
Nothing, that's not unusual.
No, that's all right. No, rabbit. That's just lovely.
I went to this thing last night, which is part of the reason I was sort of staying in the centre of town, and it was an awards ceremony. And then they brought, you know, you have a dinner and they bring food round. They brought this food round. And, do you know, I'm thinking about now, I don't know what it was. I still don't know what it was. No one on our table knew. I was like, is this chicken or what? What is it? And nobody knew. And I think it might have been rabbit.
Yeah, it could
thinking
be
about
rabbit.
It now, it might
have been. Yeah.
That's quite unusual, isn't it? You don't get that usually at a mass catering thing.
Oh, rabbit's lovely. I mean, you can get it. Well, the good thing about rabbit is you can have it all year round. It's an all year round game food.
thanks for that. Culinary advice, Jonathan.
Yeah.
We've gone from toilets to rabbits. I've no idea.
I know. Somebody said to me, I got more rabbits than certain supermarket.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm going to have to go now.
Yeah, please, God, please go.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's a pleasure.
It's a good week, actually. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thanks very
good
much.
Laugh.
Thank you very much, Frank. I've enjoyed it. Go away. No, go away now. Michael, hello, Michael.
Hi.
Hi, sorry, you were hanging on for ages there, I realised, but I just sort of got caught into this vortex of Jonathan world.
Right,
it's a bit weird when that happened. Where are you calling from?
The
A1. A1, where are you going?
Up to Boreham Wood, where I live.
Oh, okay, you finished work for the day?
Yeah, I have.
What do you do?
I run Tumble Tots. It's a physical exercise program for kids from crawling to 5 years old.
Tumble Tots?
Yeah.
That's a brilliant name.
It is. It's a fantastic program. It's really good.
Well, how does it work? What do you do?
Well, I own the Tumble Tots for North London. It's a franchise thing, and I own certain postcodes, and... It's a physical education program for crawlers up to 5 years old.
Yeah.
And we have 45-minute classes, and we get them to do agility and balancing and climbing and coordination, the hand-eye coordination.
Are you doing your bit, Michael, then, to fight the rise in child obesity? Is that what it's for?
Tumble Tots actually was set up 25 years ago.
25 years ago?
Yep. But it is actually now very, very topical. We're right in the forefront of trying to alleviate childhood obesity, yes.
I'm not wrong, am I, Michael? There's nothing worse than a fat kid.
Surprisingly, very few fat children come to Tumble Tots, but what they are, not so much fat, but very uncoordinated.
Right.
And we can certainly help children who are uncoordinated, and we often get children who are dyslexic, which is a form of dyslexic. It's a byproduct of dyslexia. Dyslexia. And children are suffering quite a lot of that nowadays, and we can help them too. And it's surprising how many children come who are so uncoordinated. They don't know how to climb, don't know how to balance, don't have any of those skills.
Is that, though, Michael, is that, because when I was a kid, I mean, I don't know how old you are, but when I was a kid, we used to, you know, you would still go out after school.
Yep.
You know. Yep. And where we lived, you know, there was a sort of fields and, you know, things. And you'd go, you know, you'd go and climb stuff. And
Or kick a ball around.
Or kick a friend around at the very least.
But
they don't do it anymore because of the PlayStation generation, Michael.
Not so much that, but parents are frightened of letting their kids out of their sight.
Yep.
And to some extent, you can understand where they're coming from. You really can. Children don't play in the street. I played in the street, and I was fine, but I wouldn't necessarily let my kids play in the street. In the garden, yes, but not necessarily in the street.
Right. You got kids yourself?
Yeah, I've got a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Okay, so what made you set up Tumble Tots in the first place, 25 years ago?
No, I didn't. I've only been doing it 5 years myself.
Oh, okay.
But Tumble Tots has been existing 25 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. But so, it... No, but it's great. I love it. I love the interaction with the mums. I love the interaction with the kids.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Go and be honest, Mark, keep me on. No,
yes.
Just between you and me.
Go on.
Is it just a way of flirting with mums?
Well, it can be quite interesting, some of the mums.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is. It is, isn't it? Is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you got into it 5 years ago, and it's great because it's good for the kids, and it's great for their coordination, doing the thing. But really, what you're saying is, I did it because I like flirting with mums.
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
But I mustn't tell my wife because she'll go mad. But there is that.
It's all right, we're just keeping it between me and you. No one need know, Mark.
No one else know, yeah, exactly.
Amsterdam toilets.
Yes. Now, very interesting. The National Museum in Amsterdam has a little basement area where two flights of stairs come down into a hall area.
Yeah.
And off that are the ladies and the gents. Both have glass frontage. You can see right in or right to the very back of both the ladies and to the gents.
Mm.
And even more bizarre, the cubicles do not have doors.
Right. You see, it's not right. It's just...
And I asked actually somebody why that was. And they said it's to stop, this was about 10 years ago when we were there.
Yeah.
It was to stop drug taking.
In Amsterdam?
Yep.
Stop drug taking in Amsterdam? That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's what it's for, isn't it?
Huh?
I thought that's what Amsterdam was for.
Exactly. But they were trying to curb drug taking, and so the cubicles had no doors, and the frontage was glass.
Someone told me, and obviously I'm going to say that someone told me, Michael.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't indulge in such an activity ever.
No, of course not.
But someone told me that in clubs in London now, what they do on the back to stop drug taking of the powdery sort, they put Vaseline on all the surfaces.
Oh, right.
To stop people chopping out, you know.
I never knew that.
Apparently so.
There you go.
I'm just going from what I was told. I've never.
I'm sure you were.
Never.
Never.
Been anywhere near a toilet.
No, nor me.
Anyway, but no, it's interesting, isn't it? But I mean, Amsterdam, it's kind of got that reputation of a free city and letting it all hang out. So I can't, you kind of expect it there. But what I don't want is to check into my hotel room like I did last night and find a glass toilet. Even though I was the only one in there, I was still embarrassed for myself.
I can understand that.
It was just a bit strange.
Very odd.
Michael, thanks very much for calling.
No problem.
It was a pleasure talking to you, especially because of the, I just love the word tumble tots for a start. This is LBC 97.3. And I think, Alan, have you ever been in a glass toilet?
No, only once at university when someone took the wrong door off and put a glass one back on, but you do that at university, don't you?
I've never done that at university.
Have you not? It was me, if someone else did it, but embarrassing anyway.
What university did you go to?
That was at Salford.
Oh, that explains it.
Exactly.
Okay, travel now with Alan Joyce.
A10 in South Tottenham. John Holmes.
It is LBC 97.3. Hello, I am John Holmes. Mysterious girl. I wanna get something. Not my words, of course. That song, not my words, but the words of Run to Fat, Spiky Head, Chav Face, Jordan Fiddler, Peter Andre. But it's not a mysterious girl we're concerned with this afternoon, but a mysterious quiz. It's a brand new one today. Brand new quiz today for Friday. It's simply entitled, Guess Who I Had in the Back of My Cab. A cab driver asks, guess who I had in the back of my cab, and you simply have to guess who he had in the back of his cab. Let's hear him ask the question.
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
Right, who's in the back of his cab? There you go. All you have to do is guess who's in the back of his cab. If you guess correctly, you could win. Let's hear it again.
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
Who is in the back of his cab? 84850, homes at lbc.co.uk. But what's the prize, I hear you cry? I don't, of course. Once again, you have no transmitting facilities, so I can't hear you cry that. But I'll leave a gap for you to cry it now. There. Well, if you be quiet, I'll tell you. Today's prize is an excellent prize. It is this, an all-expenses-paid mountain climbing holiday for two up Clive Bull. That's right, we'll fly you to Clive Bull, put you up in a five-star hotel overlooking him, give you a Sherpa guide, and on day two, you'll begin your climb making base camp on his approach and then conquering Clive Bull's difficult north face. All equipment is included, including ropes, crampons, helmet, and spear gun. It comes with a cast iron guarantee that if you die during the attempt, LBC will fly your body home and put it in a skip. So that's a luxury mountain climbing holiday for two up Clive Bull. 84850, homes at LBC bigbooms.co.uk. Simply answer this question.
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
It's a quiz. It's called Guess Who's in the Back of My Cab. You've just got to guess who's in the back of his cab with this.
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
Who's in the back of his cab? 84850 homes@lbc.co.uk. John, this is a text. This is a text. John, speaking of DIY as you were and how rubbish you are at it, I'm rubbish at it too. I sprayed WD-40 onto my car engine on a petrol station forecourt with the engine still running. It set it on fire. That's from Sarah. That's excellent. I've got a friend, Sarah. That's it. Kevin is on the phone. Hello.
All right, then, John.
I'm very well, thank you. I do have. Remind me, Kevin, in a minute when I spoke to you. I do have a story about my friend in a car on a station forecourt. Thank you. That Chris has bought me some tea, Kevin.
Oh, right, that's I was going to, but no, that's not me. I'm here to talk about toilets.
I know you are. Toilet, glass toilet doors, walls.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Remember you were talking about that club earlier where you could sort of go in and they could see all your todgers?
That's right.
All your todgers, yeah. Well, we're not trying to be controversial or nothing, but what happens if you could use that to your advantage?
How do you mean?
Well, what you go in there with, and if you're less than, unlike a donkey, you could buy one of those plastic ones, stick it over the top.
Yeah.
The girls are sitting there thinking, I'll have a piece of that when I get out.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit disappointing for when you get you home, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, come on, fair is fair. I mean, what happens when you get old and a girl's got a large breast when you get home with a chicken fillets? I mean, you just don't have to get out of bed, do you?
No, good point. It's too late by then, isn't it?
Exactly, mate.
You've sort of made a commitment, haven't you?
Exactly.
In many ways, you might as well go through with it. That's a good idea, though. That's a good idea, Kevin. I think that is a good idea, actually.
There you go, mate.
That might be what the glass walls are for. That might be a whole just a bloke said, you know what, I'm going to put these glass walls in and people just take advantage. Impress the lady.
Exactly.
Have you...
I don't need the plastic one.
Oh, that was my question. Yeah, are you right?
Obviously,
I know Jonathan's still listening. Don't want to get him excited, but, you're obviously a very proud man, Kevin. You're obviously would you happily go into a toilet with a glass wall and just let it hang out?
Yeah, I thought you were
going to
say going there with a donkey then.
We're back to Amsterdam toilets again there. That's perfectly acceptable.
Yes, mate, I'm more than happy,
Yeah.
Expecting the court case is coming up in a couple of weeks.
Good. Are you one of those men, because I'm rubbish at this, right? If ladies listening, this is true. I might be letting you into a man's world thing here, and men will probably tell me off for it. But as a man, Kevin, I go into a toilet, and if it's busy, but there is a bit of spare urinal, I go in the cubicle. I can't go with an audience.
No, mate, you've got to go in there on your own, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, you don't want everybody looking at you. You never know what someone's going to be like.
The thing is, I don't think they are looking at you. It's just like peer pressure or something. I can't go if people are, if there's other just men around in the room. I don't know why, I just have to go in the cubicle. And then people look at me going, why is he going in the cubicle? Is he, exactly.
It's a bit of privacy. You wouldn't walk along the street doing it, would you? So,
no, you wouldn't. I don't think, I think it's wrong. And now there are these toilets that, apparently in ladies' toilets, and again, I don't go in ladies' toilets, Kevin, but there are ones where you don't even get cubicles anymore with ladies. They get a sort of toilety thing to sit on against the wall, but they're not really separate, so they can have a chat while they're going to the toilet. Because they always go together anyway, don't they? So what's the, they like a chat? Why?
They used to have some of them like that in the military, where you'd get the planks and there'd be several holes and you'd just go in and do your business, like.
Are you in the military, Kevin?
Sorry?
Are you in the military?
Not anymore, no.
Used to be?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, when did you come out?
Years ago, mate, 20 years ago.
When did you come out of the military?
I like it, really funny.
Oh, yeah.
You talked about the girls. You seen that film, The Brezhnev? Melody Clark and her mate swap round while they're in the toilet,
Yeah, you're not right. I've got to take a break, Kevin, but,
All right, mate, all the best, anyway.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Great week, John. You've been fantastic.
You're a lovely man.
Appreciate it.
See you,
mate.
I see you later. Thank you. Hung like a donkey, Kevin, there. This is LBC 97.3.
British Airways, low winds. John Holmes.
A lot of answers coming in for the Guess Who's in the Back of My Cab mystery quiz. Let's just hear the question. probably.
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
There. That's a cab driver asking, guess who's in the back of my cab? All you have to do is guess who's in the back of his cab. Happy Analyst has texted, is it my mum? No, it's not, I'm afraid. No, John, is it Giant Haystacks? That's from Dan in Barking. Is it Jade Goody? Well, it just says Jade Goody. That's either from Jade Goody, or they're guessing it's Jade Goody. Well, let's have a listen.
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
No, I think it's Jade Goody, then. Is it Joey DeMeo, the bassist from Manowar, the best band in the world? I remember Manowar. I think are they still around? I saw Manowar live once. That's true. What the, I think the bass player from Manowar, if I'm thinking, is the right one. Big, fat, bald man. Huge, about 6'7", bald man. Had a bass guitar, which had, in the end of the bass guitar, like a firework, rockets. They used to play. Brilliant. Brilliant band, Manowar. but it's not him. What's it? Hi, John. Is it my mum in the back of the cab? That's someone else. Is it my mum in the back of the cab? That's from Mark in Wallington. No, I'm afraid it isn't. Another text. John, you are absolute crap, you tosser. Which is lovely. Lovely text to get on a Friday. Bad DIY then as well. We'll be doing that in the next hour, which is coming up very soon. God, it's 4 o'clock already. The DIY. This, Sarah set fire to her own car on a garage forecourt by putting WD-40 onto the engine. While it was running. I'm rubbish at DIY. My friend, actually, car-wise, my friend David, who is an idiot, got a diesel car and did the classic thing, put petrol in it. Just put petrol, filled it up, didn't even think, petrol, diesel. Fine, I appreciate that. People have done that. Do it once, that's all right. He's now done it 4 times in the same car. The garage are so annoyed with him, the dealership, when he takes it back and goes, I've done it again. They have to come out and pick the car up. It's a silver car, right? It's not. Well, I don't know what it is. It might be a Clio. But it's a silver Clio. But now, the first thing you see when you see his silver Clio, from a long way off, is a great big red sticker on the petrol, on the fuel cap, that just says, diesel only. It's about a foot wide. It's a big sticker. Because the garage got so sick of him that that's what they did. Craig, yeah.
Hi there.
Hello there. Have you ever put diesel in anything? That shouldn't have had it, or petrol in the wrong thing?
No, I've always done it right.
Good, like to hear it. Anyway.
Toilets.
Toilets?
Yeah. I fit double glazing for trade.
Oh, yeah.
And I was once asked to put a window in a toilet, but it was from floor to ceiling, because he wanted to admire the view.
Where? Where was this?
It was in Yorkshire, where I used to live.
Right.
I live in Kent now.
Okay, oh, whereabouts in Kent?
Borough Green.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought he was having a bit of a laugh and a joke, and he prepared the opening, and I had to put a window in it, floor to ceiling.
But not frosted glass, just normal glass?
Yeah, clear glass, so he could see out, so he could admire the view.
Was it on the second floor? On, you know, upstairs, as it were?
Yeah, it was upstairs, yeah, back of the house. There weren't many houses round it, but you could see him from the neighbour's garden.
Especially at night with the light on.
Well, yeah, and what made me laugh even more was he must have spent a lot of time in the toilet. He had a magazine rack in there.
We talked about this earlier in the week, Craig, actually, and I thought it was just men that read on the toilet. Turns out loads of women do as well. They do. They read on... I've got a friend who does the internet on his laptop in the toilet. We did this on Monday, Craig. But floor-to-ceiling window in a toilet... Too weird. Anyway, that sort of brought DIY and toilets together. The next hour, your worst DIY nightmares. I'm rubbish at it. Anyway, this is LBC 97.3. On FM. And just to remind you that all next week, of course, on LBC 97.3, Nick Ferrari's off next week, and Abu Hamza is covering for him on Breakfast. Guests include Osama bin Laden and Ken Livingstone, but obviously Abu's not operating the desk himself because of the hook thing. Can't work the buttons. Lots of calls coming in then, not calls, texts is what I meant to say, for the answers to the mystery quiz today. You need to know, you need to tell me, you need to guess, you need to find out for a prize. Just who this cab driver that we recorded earlier today had in the back of his cab.
Guess who's in the back of my cab.
Who's in the back of his cab? So all you've got to do, it's a simple, what was that noise? Did you hear a bleep then? It was on my phone. It's just embarrassing, isn't it? Not even. It's just low battery. I'll just switch it off. There you go. There you go. So unprofessional. Okay. Now, right, good. John is the person in the back of your cab. The cab, not my cab, it's the cab driver's cab for the mystery quiz. Is it Donkey out of Shrek? Close, but no. Enjoyed the show this week. Nice one. And that's from Tripod Terry, thank you. Is it Benito Mussolini, Ian Lee, or Santa Claus? None of those things. Is it me, Zippy? I'm assuming that's from Zippy. Is it a marzipan wrestler in the back of the cab who doesn't want the heating too hot? What? That's from Paul in Iver. Well, let's hear the question again.
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
If you think you know. 84850 or homes@lbc.co.uk. Excellent prize. It's a mountain climbing holiday for two up Clive Bull. We will fly you. LBC will pay. LBC will fly you to Clive Bull, put you up in a 5-star hotel overlooking him, and give you a Sherpa guide. On day 2, you'll begin your climb. You'll make base camp on his approach, and then you'll conquer Clive Bull's difficult north face. All equipment is included, including ropes, crampons, I said crampons, helmet and spear gun. And it all comes with a cast iron LBC 97.3 guarantee that if you die during the attempt, we will fly your body home and put it in a skip. 84850, homes@lbc.co.uk. If you think you know this.
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
Who is in the back of the cab? Sarah is on the telephone. Hello.
Hi, I'm on the phone.
You're on the phone?
I am.
Do you want to have a guess as to who's in the back of the cab?
Yeah, I think it might be John Humphreys.
Not John Humphreys, no. But, that's, again, somewhere between Donkey out of Shrek and John Humphreys lies... Lies it, if you like.
Is it Shrek?
No. That's not very far between the Donkey out of Shrek and John Humphreys, is it? Because that's just Shrek, and that's down the...
I don't even know who John Humphreys is, I just made it up.
You don't know who John Humphreys is?
Who is he?
How are you going to make up... How can you make up a name of a famous person if you don't know who he is?
No. I've heard of him as a famous person.
Yeah, well, he hosts Mastermind on BBC Two and is the presenter of Radio 4's The Today programme.
Oh, that man.
That's John Humphreys.
That's very cool.
Yeah. He says things in the morning like, it's 18 minutes past 8, and then does some news.
Oh, OK. I must warn you, it's going to get a bit noisy because there's a train coming.
Oh, right.
Oh, no, hang on.
Are you on the way? Weren't you going to Deal?
Yeah.
Where? What train station are you at?
London Bridge.
Oh.
Yay.
Yeah. Is it busy?
Lovely. It is very busy. I'm a bit mental. I don't like it. I hate train stations. I've got a slight phobia of them.
Well, why not, you know, go by other means?
No, I'm all right. Oh, there it comes from.
That's quite noisy, isn't it? Yeah. Can you have a phobia of train stations?
Yes, I think you can, can't you?
Or does it have a name?
I get scared of getting mugged.
Well, this ties in with to what we were talking about yesterday, then, doesn't it?
Yeah,
my friend.
Yeah, but...
I was talking about my friend Gary yesterday. He got his head kicked in at King's Cross.
Right.
He's fine. He's having his second operation on his eye today.
Oh, what happened to his eye?
Well, these three blokes were saying yesterday just kicked his head in at King's Cross Station. And his eye socket, they kicked him unconscious, and his eye socket dropped down to where his cheek should be. That's what happened.
Oh, that's not funny.
No, it wasn't funny. It was really awful.
Great.
And I saw him last night as well. And he's okay. He's fine. And he's a big bloke. But he's fine.
Operate.
But he's having his operation today to put his eye socket back where it should be. He looks quite odd on it. Looks a bit weird.
So he hasn't got a glass eye?
No, he's fine. He's getting his sight a bit blurry. He can't look up. Apparently can't look up in the sky. But apparently the operation will sort that out and that'll be fine. But
that's good. Right, well, I haven't actually been listening because I've been travelling.
Nice, lovely, that is.
Chris said something about, do I want to talk about DIY? And I went, oh, okay then.
Yeah, because we are talking about DIY, yeah.
Yeah, I put some posters on my wall today. Mm.
That's not very DIY-ish, is it?
Yeah, but it's still do-it-yourself, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Blue tack.
Sort of. What? When I was a student, you weren't allowed to use blue tack.
Weren't you? Why not?
I don't know. There was a rule that said, used to get a note round when I lived in halls, and it said, absolutely no blue tack on the walls, always put your kettle on a tray.
Oh.
I never really knew why that was either.
What about sellotape?
What, on a tray?
No.
Oh.
On the wall.
Well, that's worse, isn't it? That, just take the paint off.
Paint.
What were your posters of?
I've got a big tiger.
Tiger?
No, a big tiger. How can you get a big tiger?
No, I said big tiger.
Oh, all right then. Oh, sorry, I thought you were
I'd love to see a pig tiger, though.
That would be
What would that be like? That'd have a snout.
I'll draw a picture.
Draw me a picture of I'll put it on my of a pig tiger.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll use Photoshop and everything.
Brilliant. You're like an expert.
And
What else?
Yeah, that's it. Oh, and I clean the bathroom. Is that DIY?
Not really, you see, but I'm saying I've got a friend, Alan, who you put posters up. He called a man round. He's so rubbish at DIY. He called a man round to put his pictures up for him.
Yeah, that is a bit lame.
Now, isn't that lazy?
That is rubbish, and you should tell him he's
but
lazy.
Then I said this earlier, and I mocked him for it, Sarah.
Good, good.
And then I remembered that I once got a man to put a picture up as well. Because I...
Really?
I hammered into the wall thinking, how hard can it be to put a picture up?
Yeah. And sorry, that's just another train going.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah. And I hammered it into the wall, and the amount of plaster that just fell off and just... I took a chunk out of the wall just with one hit of the hammer. So I did... The man came round, the same man I got to put a light bulb in, came round, could you put that picture up for me? He looked at me like I was, and just
a
like...
mental?
You want me to put a picture up? You've called me around. I'm a craftsman. I build utility rooms and put in new kitchens and install showers. You've come around to put a picture up.
Well,
and he looked quite annoyed.
I've got, you talk about posters, back to posters.
Can you hang on a second while I take a break thing?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, don't sound too enthusiastic, will you?
Oh, yay, okay,
great.
Right.
Yay.
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 Go.
Yay.
Okay.
Yay.
Bye.
Yay. Yay. Yeah.
If you suffer from
John Holmes,
lots of answers. Hello, by the way, on what they said then. Lots of answers coming in for the guess who's in the back of the cab quiz. Let's just hear the question.
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
If you think you know who's in the cab, 84850 holmes@lbc.co.uk is the email and all the text. John, is it your mum and myself in the back of the cab? That's from Marv. It's an obsession with mums today on this. It can't be anyone famous, as even the cab driver doesn't know. Yeah, he does know. He's just asking you, listen.
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
He knows. He's just asking you to you figure it out. Is it Peter Andre? No. Spell Andre for some reason here. Is it the lead singer from the Streets? No, it isn't. Is it Michael Schumacher? This is from Paul. Since he's retired from driving? No. And, John, I thought Mastermind was hosted by strongman Magnus Vermagnussen. No. It used to be hosted by strongman Magnus Vermagnussen. Now it's hosted by weak man John Humphreys, who Sarah doesn't even know who that is.
I don't have a clue.
You don't even know who that is? Even though you knew his name, you don't even know who that is.
It's a good name, though.
Yeah.
Sounds like Humpty Dumpty.
No, it doesn't. Does
yes, it does.
Okay.
So.
Yes.
Posters. I've got posters of two, like, fairies.
Two fairies?
Yeah, but, right.
What are they doing?
They're kissing.
Kissing?
Yeah.
Fairies don't kiss. Fairies are beautiful.
Pardon?
Fairies don't kiss.
Yes, they do.
No, they're not beautiful. They don't do that sort of thing.
Yes,
no,
they do.
No, they don't. You're thinking of elves.
No, elves are
dirty.
Elves, no, these dirty are elves. Fairies. But one of them, right, check this out, one of them's a vampire.
What the hell are you talking about?
Honest to God.
I mean, I know it's Friday afternoon, right, and I know that I'm in quite a weird mood anyway, because it's Friday and it is a little bit Friday-ish, but don't come round here with your posters of two fairies kissing, one of them's a vampire.
Honest to God.
What do you mean? How?
I bought it at one of the student type places.
What? A university?
Yeah.
That's a student type place.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
How cool is that though? And I'm putting up a poster of the map of the world.
What? Why?
To remind me how small and insignificant we all are.
Nice, nice answer. That surely should be a map of the universe then.
That could be. Be one,
you want to put up a picture of the pillars of creation?
The seven wonders of the world?
No, the pillars of creation.
What are they?
The pillars of creation, Sarah, it's the name of a photograph taken by the Hubble Space Telescope.
Ooh.
of three towering plumes of gas and planet-creating matter.
Yeah.
In the far reaches of the universe, going back to the time of the Big Bang.
Did Nick Ferrari make that?
No.
No, okay.
So I want to know about the vampire fairy.
It's beautiful.
How is... How do you know that one of them's a vampire? What is it doing? How does it? Does it is it dressed like a vampire and the other one's dressed like a...
There might be little kiddies listening. But trust me.
What? Why? What? Kids don't mind vampires.
It's just, like, is it? Teeth.
It's got what? It's got its what out? What?
Teeth.
Teeth. Right. Well, thanks. I mean,
right.
I, you know, sort of DIY. You put your own posters up. I suppose it's DIY-esque.
Yeah.
You know, not as good as the other Sarah who texted in who'd set light to her own car with some WD-40.
Oh, you would cry, wouldn't you?
It's not good, is it?
You would really, really cry if that happened.
See, my DIY disasters aren't... DIY disasters are nonsense, but... Because I don't even entertain the idea of doing any. So I'm not... It's not even an issue. I'm not gonna...
Yeah.
I know what'll happen if I try and mend or make anything.
I'm not even allowed to do anything where I live.
You're studenty halls, though, isn't it?
It sucks.
Have you changed your mattress yet?
No. Do you think I should, like... Seriously, do you think I should complain and get a new mattress?
Yeah, I do, yeah. After we'd said this on... Was it Wednesday? You've got a mattress, and apparently the average mattress contains a ton of dead skin.
And no, 12 kilos.
And a reservoir of sweat. And you've got one that students have slept on and done other stuff on, probably, before you.
Yeah.
So, imagine what's in there. Imagine the amount of sweat. So it's in there. That could solve the drought problem of the southeast, as I say.
It could do, and I'll get Nick Ferrari to help me support my campaign.
Okay.
New mattresses for students.
There you go. It's a Nick Ferrari campaign in the waiting, isn't it?
I love Nick Ferrari. I told you that.
Yeah, you have told me that. Yeah.
I think he's lovely.
He's not lovely. He's fat and ugly.
No, I think he's quite
All right. I'll tell him. I'll leave him a note for you.
Yeah, please tell him.
Sarah loves Nick. Sarah. For Nick, Sarah, and Nick up a tree. KISSING, bit like a fairy and a vampire fairy. There, I've written that as a note, and I'll leave that for him on his desk.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
Bye.
Have a lovely weekend in Deal, won't you?
Yeah, I will.
Yay.
I love Kent.
Good. Go away now. Sarah there in, where was she, London Bridge Station or something, but from Greenwich, I don't know. Anyway, 0870 9090973 is the number to call. DIY, we sort of vaguely started to talk about there, simply because I was quite enamoured by the idea of Sarah, the other one, setting light to her own car by spraying WD-40 on the engine. That, to me, while it was running, at a petrol station. What a brilliant idea. And my, just to do that, and then watch it set on fire. And actually, how much does it cost to get it sorted out? It sounds quite expensive to me. I've never done it. I'm not stupid as David, but perhaps you're stupid and perhaps you've done it. 0870 9090973 is the number. If you want to play the mystery quiz. Very good prizes today. Up for grabs. It's a mountain climbing holiday for two. Up Clive Bull. That's right, we will fly you to Clive Bull, put you up in a 5-star hotel overlooking him, give you a Sherpa guide. On day 2, you'll begin your climb, making base camp on his approach, and then you'll conquer his difficult north face. All equipment included, including ropes, crampons, helmet and spear gun. Comes with a cast iron guarantee that if you die during the attempt, we'll fly your body home, LBC, 97.3 will pay for that, fly your body home and put it in a skip. So that's a luxury break for two people, a mountain climbing holiday, up Clive Bull. There is a text here that says, I'd like to win this simply because I'd love to go up Clive Bull. Nice. But you do need to enter the competition first. Here's the question.
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
If you think you know who's in the back of the cab, text us, 84850. Email homes@lbc.co.uk. John, is in the back of the cab, is it an LBC sticker and pen set? And this is also tying in with something we had the other day. As well, regarding how you should, make an approach to the opposite sex. John, if you want to let a girl know you like her, you must grab her bum and say, sweet, girls like this. P.S. Can I win a digital? I'm sorry, Corey, that's from Corey. We gave the digitals away. I think it was for the Warhammer game. But we are today playing Pac-Man for the radio, so if you do want to be in with a chance of winning a very good prize, another good prize, 0870 9090973 to register to play that. Who's on the electric telephone now?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello there, mate. Yeah, I'm an idiot that put petrol in a diesel car.
Oh,
in a van.
Idiot.
Yeah, I was up in Hooley, I don't know if you know it, on the way to Brighton from Croydon.
Right.
Realised at the time that I did it, because I wasn't stupid enough to start my car, because if you do that, apparently, it absolutely puts everything to shot.
Really? Does that make it worse? If you
Yeah, apparently so.
Does it start, or does it start at all, or does it
I think it starts at first, and then you sort of get a bit of a splutter, and it cuts out on you somewhere down the line. But while I was actually at the petrol station, I was waiting around for a recovery vehicle to come.
Yeah.
They didn't have any public toilets in the petrol station I was at. I nipped round the back to have a piddle, as it were.
Yeah.
Came back round, and the petrol station had been swarmed by police. While I was actually waiting to be picked up by the rescue services, somebody had came in and held up the petrol station and shot the attendant in the face.
Shot the attendant in the face?
Yeah, apparently so.
Right, don't go away, Ian. Ian, I've got to take a quick... Don't go away.
Okay,
I need
mate.
To hear about the shooting in the face. 08709090973, this is LBC 97.3.
Steve has a habit of missing things.
Hey!
Buses, appointments, his wedding.
No!
But thanks to his new DAB digital radio with electronic program guide, he never misses his favourite radio programmes. He set...
Ian, Anthony's just emailed in, and he says, if you fill up the tank with petrol... I'm not reading that word out, but then you're screwed, basically. But if you only put a tenner of petrol into a diesel car and fill the rest of the tank up with then diesel, it'll mix in and it'll be fine. That's what he says, Ian. Just thought I'd tell you that.
Well,
we're going to talk about that after the news. But I just thought I'd share that with you. That's from Anthony Killington. There you go. Ian, then, you think that that's not true, do you? Then if you fill up the tank, if you fill up a diesel tank with petrol, then fully, then obviously you're knackered. But if you only put a tenner of petrol into a diesel car, then fill it up with diesel on top, it'll mix and you'll be all right. Do you think that's nonsense?
Yeah, well, that's just what I've been told, but I'm no expert to say, to be honest with you, mate, but that's what the garage seemed to tell me. I think it depends on what sort of car or van that you've got.
Yeah.
Your dad used to have an LDV van that took both, apparently. It was recommended that occasionally you put a bit of petrol in it and vice versa with a diesel. So.
Really? I've never heard of that before.
No, I had neither. My dad was a bit shocked of it as well, but he did it a few times and never had any problems.
That might have been an elaborate joke that someone was playing on there, you realise that. Can't.
Yeah, well, possibly. But he never had any comeuppance from it, so he was all right.
Fair enough. So you were at this garage, you went for a toilet, you came back round. You see how we link it all together, Ian? Toilets we're talking about, yeah, it's all come together again.
Yeah, there you go, magic.
And someone shot the cashier in the face.
Well, I think it was only with an air pistol, because I saw the cashier come out. He did have a bit of a mark on his face, but he seemed okay at the time.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
So what happened? Were you questioned as a witness, even though you weren't even witnessing it?
Yeah, I gave a statement and someone just said that I didn't see anything and so on. But I basically came back round from having my wee-wees, as it was, and came into the middle of a crime scene. The van was stuck there waiting for the recovery truck, blue tape all around the petrol station.
Yeah.
Got stuck there for about an extra hour.
How long was your wee lasting about round there? That must have taken a while.
Well, it wasn't that long, actually. I was quite shocked.
So you went round, you did your car, the car had gone wrong, you called the thing, went round the back of the toilet, and then by the time you come out, not only had a crime been committed and someone shot in the face with an air pistol, but the police had arrived and cordoned the whole thing off with tape.
Yep, there you go.
How long were you there? Did you go through some sort of time rent in the space-time continuum?
Well, I was there probably for about an hour before I went to have my Jimmy, and then probably about another hour after that, so... But my governor came up to meet me as well, because he had to give me the card for the breakdown service.
Yeah.
So that I could get picked up, and he missed everything as well. He just pulled away just before it happened, I think, so...
Did you get in trouble? Because it was a work van, was it?
Yeah, it was.
So
I crashed the van a couple of weeks before. We'd only had it back about 3 days, and then no one did that, so it went back in the garage for another week.
I crashed a work van. I used to work in a theatre, right?
All right.
And I used to do sound and lighting in a theatre. And they got a brand... The theatre I used to work in, they got their brand new van, right? It was not a big van. It wasn't like it was one of the sort of, not lorry size, but a medium-sized transit, I suppose you'd call it.
Sort of a long wheelbase?
Long wheelbase, yeah.
Yeah,
right?
Probably what I'm driving now, yeah.
Yeah, and what they do on the side of these, you've probably seen them on the side of they advertise shows, and they get them specially painted, or they put like a big transfer on the side that goes down the whole side of the van, that colours the side of the van. It's just a huge thing. And it was advertising the pantomime that year, which I think was Aladdin. And they took delivery of this on the Monday, and on the Wednesday, and it hadn't been used. It was just sitting there. Everyone was very proud of it for some reason. And on the Wednesday, I said, oh, I'm going to go and pick up a load of sound gear that I need to get from a, supplier. And I said, okay, well, yeah, great. Why don't you take the new van? You know, it's got the big advert for the show down the side. Just drive the new van up to, you know, just where you're going, and that'd be great. Give it a go. So it's like, I got just out of the car park of the theatre, misjudged it, having not really driven a long wheelbase transit van before, misjudged a corner, and ripped one of the sides completely off on the corner of a building.
Oops.
Yeah, I wasn't very popular.
No, I can imagine so.
No. In fact, the fact that they had the van, and then it had to go away for like another 2 months to be all repaired and everything.
How much that cost, you know?
Do you know, I never found out. I didn't like to ask, because it was...
How much it cost to drain my tank, because I didn't start the engine, it was only 80 quid. But if I'd have started the engine, I reckon it could have gone up to £500-600, maybe more.
Because that's what shoots it into the engine. Yeah, it goes through, ruins the whole thing.
That's exactly it, mate.
My friend David's done it 4 times, the man's an idiot. Ian, thanks very much for that.
No problem, mate.
You've sort of kept you hanging on for so long there, but that was good, you know, it was good, because it combined toilets, that we were talking about, and DIY disasters meets petrol forecourt diesel horror, which is a slightly arse about face way of getting to Peter on the phone here. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'll be the judge of that, but...
Ooh.
So where are you calling from?
Pinewood.
Pinewood?
Yes.
Didn't that burn down recently?
Part of it did.
Which part?
I think the James Bond bit did.
I think it did, didn't it?
Yeah.
Did you
that
see
was
it?
Me. No, it was me. I started it.
Did you? Is that an admission live radio that you're an arsonist?
Come and get me, if anyone can.
All right.
No, it wasn't me. I don't know.
Yeah, you bottled out of that quite quick, didn't you? So what did you do, Peter? Apart from burning down James Bond sets.
I drive a van.
You drive a van as well?
Yeah.
A lot of it about.
Mm.
What's in your van? Guess what's in the back of your van? Hang on, I will guess.
Won't get it.
Okay, dog food?
No.
Squirrels with their eyes hanging out.
Fuck, did you know? Oh, sorry.
Don't
you know
say
that?
Words like
sorry,
that.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
We're apologising.
I apologise to the nation.
To everybody.
Or London or wherever
thank
this
you.
Goes out
thank
to.
You
yeah, no, it's...
Don't
I've got
say
nothing.
Squirrels on the radio.
Okay. I've got nothing in my van.
There's nothing in your van?
No.
Nothing at all?
Just me.
You're in the van. What normally goes in the van?
Cameras.
Cameras?
Yeah.
Film cameras, hence Pinewood.
Yeah.
There we go. See, I knew we'd get there in the end. So you don't live in Pinewood, do you? Or you, because you just work there, right?
No, I live in Tooting.
Rooting popular Tooting?
Yes.
So did you hear earlier on about my sister's Tooting underpass with Alan Joyce in the travel?
Yeah, no, I've seen that before.
Yeah. She puts it about a bit, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Not very proud of her. Do you know, I'm in trouble with my sister, actually. You know, because the other day I talked about her boyfriend, Matt, her ex-boyfriend, that she chucked, he was stalking her.
Stalking her?
He was stalking her via the medium of text message.
Oh, right, okay.
Sort of like an opposite Britney Spears. Rather than dump her, he was trying to stalk her. And I was asking for advice, people ringing up how to deal with it, and lots of people have. But she specifically told me not to talk about it ever on the radio. And what happened was, Peter, that I talked about it on the radio.
Okay.
So
you're doing so again, though.
I know. And thus, I'm not very popular with her at the moment. And now I've said she's got a Tooting underpass, I'm going to be even less popular, Peter.
Oh, well, fudder then.
Don't say that either.
Oh, well, that's not swearing.
It is swearing. Don't say that.
Right.
Honestly,
right.
You just get me into trouble. you know, again.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
But I accept your apology. Now, what are you talking about? You've phoned up for actually a reason, haven't you?
Yeah. DIY business.
DIY. Are you rubbish at it?
No, I'm okay. I'm not too bad.
Yeah.
Thing is, I'm very good at putting IKEA furniture together.
Are you?
And
I thought no one was good at that.
No, I'm quite good. And well, you know, bonus for me, I actually charge my friends' families whenever they get, you know, a new table or you know, occasional sort of wardrobe or whatever.
Yeah. But, you know an occasional table for you?
Yeah.
What is it the rest of the time?
sorry. Anyway, I charge them £5 a go to put it together.
What, irrespective of how long it takes?
Well, it only takes about 10 minutes. No, I like about... Depending, you know, like if it's like a complicated little thing, you know, then maybe an hour. But, you know, usually if it's like a chest of drawers, 15 minutes, easy.
That's pretty good. Does it look... Because I've got some, obviously, I think probably everyone has, IKEA. I've got IKEA sort of office furniture stuff. Right, I've got a study. Yeah, I look impressed. I kid you, I wish I'd known this before, Peter. I spent probably a day trying to put together just one set chest of drawers, little chest of drawers, office-y sort of chest of drawers, you know, with the deep one at the bottom, right? Took me a day, and it was all out of shape. The drawers didn't fit or close. It was rubbish. And the rest of it, you know, I was talking about a phone, there's a man who comes to put pictures up and mend light bulbs. Yeah, I phoned him. And he came around, and once again, he said, look, I am a man who can install showers. I know about central heating systems. I can put those in. Again, you phone me up just to put some
JMVQ
IKEA furniture together.
And you're getting me doing this rubbish.
Exactly. But he did a very good job. I have to say, he fixed the chest of drawers that I messed up as well. He was very good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Right. But you're good at this. I didn't know anyone was good at this. It doesn't even fit together. Sound like a, you know, it's a lame stand-up comedy routine, but, you know, it doesn't fit together. The instructions do not work.
It does. Occasionally, you might get a hole that's in the slightly wrong place. You know, you might have to get a pilot, you know, do a little pilot hole so you can screw in another screw, you know, but... You know, generally, they're all right.
I don't think, you know, you've already sworn twice on the radio. Don't say screw, pilot and hole either. That's not wise, as far as I'm concerned. You know when you read the instructions as well, like, let's say these were them here, right?
Yeah.
So you've got, right, get chest...
from there?
No, I'm saying pretend, right?
Okay.
It's like acting. Get chest of drawers. Chest of drawers, here's all the parts, here's the panels, here's the bit that you put to that bit, to that bit. Then it says, take Allen key, then have row with spouse... then get divorced, chuck whole thing in skip. That's what it says.
No, see, look, you're not even...
Hang on, Peter. Man, Peter.
There's no writing.
Peter. Hold on.
Funny little man.
Shut up!
The Chevrolet Kalos is all the car.
I'm just coming up to 10 to 5, then here's your London Underground stations this afternoon, beginning with S. Seven Sisters, Shadwell, Shepherd's Bush is on the Central Line, Shepherd's Bush on the Hammersmith and City Line, Sloane Square, Snaresbrook, South Ealing, South Harrow, South Kensington, South Kenton, South Quay, South Ruislip, South Wimbledon, South Woodford, South Fields, South Gate, Southwark, St James's Park, St John's Wood, St Paul's, Stamford Brook, Stanmore, Stepney Green, Stockwell, Stonebridge Park, Stratford, Sudbury Hill, Sudbury Town, Surrey Quays and Swiss Cottage. And of course, if there are any changes to those London Underground stations beginning with S between now and the end of the programme, then I will let you know. Meanwhile, there's a text here that simply says, John, just to clear this up, putting diesel in a petrol car or vice versa does not cause lasting damage. If it's a small amount, it can be diluted down. Larger amounts have to be drained out, but it's a good idea to change the fuel filter. Garages try to con people by telling them they have to replace the fuel system. There you go. That's what they say. Another text here. I love LBC, John. I love it. I love LBC, but this is a poor show. And the mountain cons... What does that mean? Does it mean competition, you think? Just ineptitude. And mountain cons is worse on this show because that's the way John Peel died. What the hell? Sort of weirdo would send that. And that was an unmistakable sound of me... on a mountain. That's not a very good impression, John Peel. So did Robin Cook, mine, didn't he? He died on a mountain. You don't mention that, do you? No, with your naysaying text. Yeah. But no, Robin Cook. What about poor Robin Cook died walking up a mountain? Robin Cook, walking up a hill. Robin Cook, feeling rather ill. Paul is on the telephone. Hello, Paul.
Oh, hi, John.
Hello, you're right?
Yeah, not bad.
Good.
You're all about fuel. In fact, you've just mentioned someone else's text there.
That's right.
That's quite right, because last week I actually did the honours. I put about 17 quid's worth of unleaded in a diesel van. Obviously, clearly panicked when I was at the garage.
Yeah.
Rang my business partner and said what I'd done. He said, fill it up with diesel, which
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
And he said that if you let it go down to about half, re-top it back up with diesel again. And if you keep doing that, it flushes the system out and it works fine. And I'll be honest with you, I'm driving the thing at the moment and it's not gone bang.
So you don't have to call anyone? You just kind of did it yourself?
Yeah, well, as long as you don't put too much petrol in it.
Yeah, what point did you realise? How much did you put in?
Well, I was silly because I drove my wife's vehicle the week before, so I got into the mode of keep using unleaded.
Yeah.
I was a bit dazed on the day, and I was filling it. I looked at the colour of the nozzle, funny enough, which something psychological went off of my brain.
I do that as well. Yeah, even though I know I'm doing it right, because obviously I haven't got an unleaded, but even though I get the green one and I put it in,
yes,
halfway through, I always look at it and go, no, it is the green one.
It's weird. Really,
it is weird, yeah.
Yeah, but it definitely does work. As long as you don't put too much. I think if you filled it all up with unleaded, I think you'd be fairly knackered, to be honest with you. But certainly if you do a small amount, it's well.
Yeah.
Can I come back to you about the... Not that I really want to talk to you about toilets.
But do anyway, of course.
I have the same problem as you, funny enough.
Really?
I'm sure the little circle of people I mix with think, yeah, I'm probably a bit strange, or maybe batting the other way, or whatever way you want to look at it. Because,
yeah,
I always go to a cubicle and use,
yeah,
it. And,
yeah,
I feel a little embarrassed using it, because I go in there with a group of people that work with me, and I go off to the cubicle, and they think, why doesn't he use a urine?
I know.
And it's purely because I actually genuinely can't go.
I can't. Thank God, Paul. I thought it was just me.
No, and apparently, I don't know, it might have been cardboard or someone like that. They were talking about this a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay, right.
But it's an illness, and there's something like 15% of the male population suffer with it.
Right.
What it's called, I don't know. There is a name for it.
It's psychological, isn't it? Surely. It's not. Yeah.
It must be. And I don't think it's anything to do with, you know, what people say about size. It's just purely the embarrassment of using your tool in front of others.
It is. It's a weird, you know, I'm not a private person, but, you know, I kind of, you know, this is why I thought glass door of a toilet was weird. Chris thought it was weird as well. His friend's got one in his house. So that was the thing. I thought it was weird to have a glass toilet because I have this thing where I can't, if I go in and there's one urinal left, but there's loads of blokes at the other ones, I will go to the cubicle. And of course people look at a strange Paul. Because
yeah,
they think,
I'd
you know.
Same. Yeah, it's weird.
But thank goodness it's not just me.
No, I assure you it's not.
So if I ever go to the toilet with you ever, which is never going to happen, but if
it's
I do,
never gonna happen,
we can
really,
both go to the cubicles and neither of us would say a word to the other one, and it'd be fine.
The other thing that we both need to do is check the colour of the nozzle we're using, wouldn't we?
We would, actually, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely right. If I went to the toilet and checked the colour of a nozzle, then I'd make sure I was using the green one. What? I've got to bring some other people on this call. Who have I got? Hello? Hello? Hello there?
Hi, me.
Are you probably? Yes, who are you?
I'm Rob.
Hello, Rob. How are you?
Hello, mate. I'm right.
Good. I think someone else is here as well with the wrong fuel. It's Nick. Hello, Nick.
Hello. Hello, John.
Hello, you all right?
Yes, thank you very much.
Marvellous, yeah. So you both fuel messed up?
Twice, I've done it twice. I stuck petrol in the diesel. I put 10 quid with in the first time and panicked, and then the second time I filled it right up.
Filled
it right up with petrol, and it's a diesel van.
Did it break?
And I had to physically siphon it off as much as I possibly could, and then fill it with a diesel, and then run it down a bit. Oh, it was a nightmare. It smoked like a good one.
Ooh. Did you hear me say about Sarah earlier putting a WD-40 on an engine of a running car and set fire to it?
Not ideal.
No,
I wanted to come talk about a couple of other things.
Can you just wait? Bear with me just a sec, because I will talk to you in a sec. We've just got to take a break, but don't go anywhere.
Strong, stylish.
Yes. Nick and Rob are on what can only be described as the telephone. Nick, you were just about to say something before we rudely interrupted you with advertising.
Well, a couple of things. Oh, I too have the same problem as being jostled in the loo.
Really?
Yeah.
Brilliant. You see, we can form a sort of gang between us now.
Well, I think it's called pee pressure, not peer pressure.
Pee pressure. I think, it builds up as well if you can't go. How embarrassing is this, Nick? I've stood there at a urinal thinking, no, I can go with people around. It's fine. I'll go in. I'm quite desperate to go. I'll go, I'll stand there.
Yeah.
Nothing comes out.
And then you go away without going.
Nothing comes out. You either have to go away without going, or worse, because you have to sort of pretend you've gone. You get into a nightmare of lying, because the other people go, well, he's not gone, has he?
Well, it must be so common, because, I'm doing the same thing as you two.
Brilliant. See? This is more common than we thought.
The other thing is, I've got an idea what's in the back of the taxi.
Oh, okay, go on, what? Okay, shall we hear, let's hear it again, we'll hear the question-y clue, go on.
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
Right, who do you think it is?
Well, a passenger.
No, you see, you've got to be specific, it's a well-known celebrity, isn't it?
Alright, well, I'm driving a van. Guess what's in the back of mine? I'm a carpenter.
Wood.
No.
Tools. Yeah.
Yeah, close.
Not tools. Yeah. Oh, you're a carpenter?
Yeah.
Oh, in that case, you've probably got, the body of a, prostitute. Rob's on the other line. Hello, Rob.
Hello, mate.
You alright?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Have you wrong-fueled as well?
I have, yeah. I put a whole tank in.
Did you put petrol in diesel?
Petrol in diesel.
Yeah. Did it knacker it?
Well, no, not at all.
Oh.
No, so it's quite strange, but I just paid for it, got in the car, started up, drove home, no problem.
Yeah.
Went to bed and got up next morning. Went out, dropped the kid off at school. On the way home, every time I come to the junction, it cut out on me. So it started up every time. Got home, it was like, something wrong with it. So I only bought the car about a fortnight ago.
Right.
And I mean, it didn't cost me a fortune, but like, it went bang, not to worry, but it's, what should I do? It's like, well, I need a car by tomorrow, and I can't do anything, like, financially.
Yeah.
Thing. So in the end, I dropped the back seat down, pulled the boot out, and removed the fuel sender unit.
Oh, right.
Turned the whole tank off. Got something to run me up the garage, get a couple of gallons of diesel.
Yeah.
Fine.
Fixed it. See, there you go. You just said words as well that strike fear into my heart. Took the back seat off, removed the fuel cylinder unit. That, to me, is an absolute gobble. What?
Fuel sender unit. It tells the gauge how far to read up and down.
I can't do any form of DIY, Rob. Not even... certainly not on cars. Well, it took me all my time when I was a kid to...
DIY for me is disastrous, yes.
But you know how to do a fuel pump thing.
Well, yeah, I'm a qualified mechanic. I did my apprentice 10 years ago, and I've got bored with that. So now I drive excavators and big dump trucks and machines and things. But I still remember that old stuff. But when it comes to like DIY in the house, forget it.
Right.
I can't paint properly. It always just runs. I thought I put a bit of carpet down. Pull the old carpet up.
A lot of guesses coming in for the Guess Who's in the Back of the Cab quiz thing this afternoon. Nick Ferrari is in the back of the cab, says Gordon. No, he isn't, Gordon. Carl, well, let's listen to the clue.
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
All we've got to do is guess who's in the back of the cab. Very good prizes to give away this afternoon, as you will have heard. We have a mountain climbing holiday for two up Clive Bull. All equipment included. Oh, no. Yeah. 8484850 or homes@lbc.co.uk. Carl says, I hope it's not Leslie Grantham in the back of the cab.
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
Just let you think about that and remember why. Think back to before Leslie Grantham was a rude dressing room gentleman and back to when, years ago, he murdered a man. Which I can say, because he did. And that's, I believe, had to do time for it. Unless I'm wrong, in which case I take it all back, and his lawyers needn't bother phoning. John, is it Crazy Jay from Crazy Jay and the Party Timers on her way to a gig in Walthamstow in the back of the cab?
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
No, it isn't. 84850, if you think you know who is in the back of the cab, that's the cabbie asking you who to guess who's in the back of his cab, or homes@lbc.co.uk. We will be playing Pac-Man for the radio. I will be launching that in a moment. But before that, what line are you on? Hello?
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 Hello, what line are you on?
I haven't got a clue. Ooh. What line do you want me to be on?
Say 9.
9.
And what's your name?
Anne-Marie.
Here's Anne-Marie on line 9. Hello, Anne.
Oh, hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm very well indeed. I thought you might like to know my story about the, when I thought I was doing a favour, with regards to putting the wrong petrol. I know I sound like a woman, and I am.
You do, actually. You do actually sound like a woman, yeah. I kind of got that from you, yeah.
Well, I, you know, as a female...
Yes.
I'm a better... than your average female driver, but I'm actually tip-top. I'm a very good female driver.
Is this your own opinion, or has someone told you that?
Mine and others' opinion, absolutely. So, I've been stopped by the police, and they've said, oh, my God, I didn't realise it was a woman driving the car.
What, you've been...
I took that as a positive.
You've been stopped by the police, what, for good driving? I don't think they do. They don't ward you. They don't pull you over and award you points, so you took that corner very well.
Yeah, well, actually, I did do it. They said, oh, we thought it was a man.
What, you were swerving all over the road? Smashing into parked cars, were you?
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. The point I phoned about was to say, I had a bit of a problem with my own car, and my neighbour very kindly offered to lend me his car to drive around. So I thought, great, thank you very much. And as a thank you, I put petrol back in the car for what I'd used. So I thought I'd put a bit more, and I'd put a £10.
It's a very neighbourly, nice thing to do.
Very nice thing to do, turned it back. I said, oh, by the way, you know, I hope you don't mind, I put you some petrol back. He said, no, what do you mean you put petrol in the car?
Uh-oh.
I said, yeah, well, put petrol in the car. He said, it's a diesel engine. I'm like, oh my God, what does that mean?
Yeah, I like that. What does that mean? Brilliant.
Well,
Did they explain to you what it means between punches, or...?
Yes, well, he did say his wife had done the same thing, and he had to have the whole thing flushed down. It cost him about £250.
Nice.
At which point, I gulped, and I said, OK, I've got an idea.
Yeah?
Bright idea. I've only put £10 in it.
Yeah.
All right? So what you've got to do, go and top it up with more diesel. And all that's going to do is, like, you know, it's going to thin out the petrol... And therefore, the more you drive it, the more it will mix up with the diesel, and then as you drive down, drop down a little diesel, add more diesel.
Did you base this on any scientific theory, Anne?
No, Marie, absolutely not.
You just made it up?
I made it up completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a woman, I thought, OK, what would I do if someone had given me the wrong thing to wear? I'd have to somehow make it, disguise it, you know. That's kind of logical. It works.
Yeah, it's not quite the same thing, is it? For instance, if you were going out, because what you've done is you've put petrol in a diesel car, but it's not quite the same as, say, going out in half a dress and, you know, maybe
because if you put a blazer over it, you could disguise the fact that you were missing piece of your dress.
Not if it was the bottom piece, because putting a blazer on with the top half of a dress is still going to mean you...
Have you not seen the latest fashion with those very long kind of coat type things?
Bums
or
out.
A very long jumper that you could almost wear as a dress?
Yeah, almost. I mean, okay, well, Anne-Marie, I've never met you. But, you know, let's dwell on that for a moment.
I've got good legs.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
You said that.
That's right. Well, so you have got good legs, so you wouldn't really mind then if...
If it happened to me and I had to pull my jumper very long up my legs. There's one thing, women always have things that they hate about in their body. But I've always said, you know what, one good thing, I've got good legs.
Good legs.
And I have been told by other people.
Is the rest of
you? For your age, you've got good legs.
For your age.
What that means.
How old are you, Anne-Marie, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm on the right side of 50.
The right side of 50?
Yeah, the 50 is the new 40, I've decided.
Okay, so you're saying you're still good legs, very good legs.
I've still good legs.
Rest of you, are you saying the rest of you is a bit ropey? What are you saying?
No, it's all right. You know, the occasional little bit of love handles, but men like that in a slightly older woman.
Right. Is that what?
I'm quite attractive.
You're quite attractive. What would you give yourself out of 10?
7.
That's not bad, is it?
For a 40-something-year-old.
It's not bad.
I can still hang it, I can still shake it.
Can you?
I can still pass for under 30.
I wouldn't shake...
Under 40.
Under 40. I wouldn't shake it too hard, it might come off.
Your age,
it might just drop off, and then where would you be?
Not yet.
Are you with a gentleman?
I'm still out there looking, like I'm looking for a new car.
Have you ever dumped anyone by text message?
No, that's a bit before my time.
I know. Do you have a phone, you have a mobile, do you?
Yeah, I've got two.
Two?
Yeah.
Because it's a bit before my time, and now it turns out you've got two mobile phones.
One for work, one for home, you know, one to play with and one to be serious with. Mm.
Well, now, you know, what's the face? Britney Spears dumped whatever idiots like Kay.
I gave her 2 years, and she's kind of just about lived with it.
FedEx, whatever his name is, yeah. By text message. Now, Chris and I were talking earlier in the office about the song, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover by Paul Simon. We were trying to think, we didn't get very far, to be honest, but we were trying to think we were going to rewrite it for modern times, because instead of just slip out the back jack and all that, make a new plan, Stan. You know, it should be rewritten, because no one leaves your lover nowadays by slipping out of the back of any... Well, you could slip out of the back of them and then tell them, but that's a bit rude. But make a new plan, hop on the bus, Gus,
etc.
People don't do that anymore. People send a fax. Phil Collins.
Email. I can dump you by email.
Dumping by email.
Yeah.
What's the best way to dump someone, do you think, then? Do you think it's the old-fashioned way? Or do you think it's OK to dump people by text now, Anne?
If they're munching,
it's easier, isn't it?
It's much easier.
Yeah.
No hassle.
No.
You know, like,
it's good though.
Thanks.
It's good though. 0870 9090 973. Actually, what is the best way to chuck someone? Kick them out on their ass. What's the best way to do that? Call us 0870 9090 973.
Jeff wants a pool table.
Joe wants an office.
Yes, I am him. Right then, if it's phone-in competition time you want, then it's phone-in competition time you've got. Although, to be fair, you've got it, whether you want it or not. It's Friday, it's not 5 o'clock anymore, and it's not Cracker Jack. Chris, say Cracker Jack.
Cracker Jack.
Thank you. Instead, I'll do it again. It's Friday, it's not 5 o'clock anymore, it's not Cracker Jack.
Cracker
Crackerjack.
Instead, it's this. If you've been listening to this show with your ears all week, you'll know that we have played Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell for the radio. We've also played Warhammer. I didn't say Crackerjack. You can only say Crackerjack when I say Crackerjack.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
That's the rule. That's how it works.
Okay, sorry.
Idiot. Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War, Dark Crusade for the radio. We've played that as well. And Tony Hawk's is Pro Skater 3, American Wasteland for the radio. Today, though, we nostalge. Back to the 80s as we play Pac-Man. Not for the Xbox. Thanks very much. That's right, we play Pac-Man. Not for the Xbox. Where did you find that? Not for the Xbox, not for the Nintendo DS, not for the stupid big machine in the corner of the pub, but it's Pac-Man. For the radio. Here's the rules. Here's how you play. This is, I'm going to set the scene. You are Pac-Man. A pointless and monotonous circle with a slice cut out of it for a mouth. You are trapped in a lame maze, and you must eat all of the dots. But here's the twist. You are being chased by ghosts, and orcs, and terrorists. There are also civilians, cute zoo animals, and members of the Shadow Cabinet. You have five controls. Eat dot. Shoot, don't shoot, bang uselessly into maze. Or argue about government's position on immigration. Those are your controls today. If you want to play Pac-Man for the radio, then call us 0870 90 90 973. I can't remember what the prize is today. What's the prize today, Chris? Do you know?
Crackerjack.
0870 90 90 973 to play Pac-Man for the for the radio. On the phone, meanwhile, while you try and get your face around that idea, is Lee. Hello.
Hi, John.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. You sound very chirpy and lovely today.
I am. I'm on my way home.
Are you?
It's my birthday on Monday, so I'm all excited.
Happy birthday. How old are you?
I'll be 29.
29. Now, presumably, obviously, we've just heard there about what happens when you get to sort of 50.
Yeah.
Bits drop off. Apparently, if you were listening just earlier.
Yeah.
But presumably, age of 29, you're still all very much in places where it's supposed to be.
I hope so.
Really?
I hope so.
I'm glad to hear it. What do you do for a living?
I work for a bank. I'm a project manager for a bank.
A project manager?
Yeah.
What sort of projects do banks do? When the last project I did was on the First World War during history at school.
Oh, very nice.
Ah. What was the last project you did?
Well, last one I've done, it's not that exciting, actually. It was regarding a restructure of a team, a department.
No, you're right, it's not very exciting, is it?
No, it's not very exciting. It's boring.
Did you manage to restructure the team?
Yeah, I did, but people lost their jobs and stuff, so it wasn't really very good.
Is that your fault?
No, not my fault. I was told to do it.
That's just what the Nazi said. You were told to... Did you have to sack people?
No.
No, you didn't do that. Have you ever sacked... Are you in charge? Are you the boss?
No.
Oh, right. Are you in charge of some people?
I'm the manager, but I'm not in charge.
Hang on, that doesn't work. What, so it's a sort of... They've given you the title manager just to sort of make you feel good about it, but really not in charge of anything.
Yeah.
So essentially they go, Lee's in. Get Lee. What do we need? We need someone to sharpen the pencils, don't we? And we need... We need some tea and photocopy and pencil sharpening. Well, look, get Lee to do it. No, we can't... What sort of rubbish... You can't call her in just to say sharpen the pencil. We'll call... Call her a project manager. Same duties, but give her the title manager.
I know, but it's great.
Do you love it?
Yeah, it's not bad.
What bank is it?
The Royal Bank of Scotland Group.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say Halifax.
No.
Because I hate Howard from the Halifax.
Yeah, this is good.
I can't watch the adverts with Howard from the Halifax. I can't bear it.
The singing ones.
The singing ones. You know what I mean? Him. Can't bear it.
Yeah, I do.
Can't bear his stupid round face with his glasses.
Can't. You know that everybody that does those adverts is actually their employees.
I know. Well, it shows, doesn't it?
I know.
Because they're all rubbish. Would you do an advert for the Royal Bank of Scotland if they asked you?
Depends how much money they paid me, to be honest.
I mean, they go, right, you've got Lee. She's sharpened the pencils. She's good at that. She's made it. She's done the photocopying. Well, what are we going to get her to do now? I don't know. We've run out of... She's done all the pencils. We've got no pencils left. What are we going to get her to do? You know, we call the project manager. Put her in an advert. What would you be in an advert, Lee?
What would I be?
Would you like to be one of those, you know, those sensual adverts for shower gel?
What, going, ooh, oh, no.
You know the ones I mean? Where, they, you know, you're sort of touching yourself. You know those ones?
Isn't it shampoo?
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's shampoo.
I bow to your better judgment. Whatever, what you do, get up to in the shower, Lee, is your own business. I'm not there. Yet. So,
I think I'd rather do dancing, to be honest.
You what?
I love dancing. I'd probably, if I was going to be in any advert, I'd like to dance.
I think that, yeah, I think so, yeah. You're a good dancer, then?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Not bad at all.
All right, glad to hear it. When was the last time you went dancing?
A week and a half ago.
Oh, exciting. Where did you go? Was it a wedding, or did you go clubbing?
No, I do Latin dancing.
Oh, Latin dancing?
Salsa.
Crikey. It's all gone a bit Strictly Come Dancing around here,
isn't it? It's really good.
I should try it. Do you think I'd be any good at that? No.
Yeah, of course you would. You need to give it a go.
I'd be rubbish at it.
And it's really fun.
I like the outfits. Is the Latin dancing, is that the one where, as a man, I'd wear sort of a white, sort of billowing shirt, tight black trousers, hat, a bit like Antonio Banderas, probably.
If you're going to do a show, maybe, you're just going out to a normal salsa club.
Yeah.
No.
What do you wear?
You might look a little bit out of place, to be honest.
Well, I wouldn't, because I that's the sort of clothes I wear anyway.
Really?
I'm sitting here now in my tight black trousers, my billowing white shirt, my cummerbund. And
very
my,
sexy.
Thank you. And my lovely big Antonio Banderas film hat.
You'd be great dancing then.
And I've got Cuban heels.
Really?
Yeah, I need them, because I'm only a foot tall.
Excellent, you'd be fun to dance with.
Yeah, I would, yeah. I'm like a tiny dwarf man. I'm not. So, who'd you go dancing with, Lee?
My boyfriend.
Okay.
Or the girl sometimes.
Do you make him go? Was it his idea or your idea?
No, we actually met at dancing.
Oh, you pulled at the dancing? I see. So it's not so much about the dancing, more about you were just trying to, you know, go and meet gentleman friends.
Sorry?
You were trying to meet gentleman friends?
No, not at all.
Oh, so it's just a happy coincidence. How long have you been going out with him?
7 months.
7 months. So it's still in the first romantic stage, is it, of the relationship?
Or still in the honeymoon stage.
Is it? So it's not got a bit boring yet?
No, we live together now.
Oh, right. How long did you last go... Last one did you last? How long was it before you moved in together?
That was a
bit
personal.
That was a bit, wasn't it, yeah?
Just
it was a Freudian slip there, Lee. I'm sorry, I do apologise. You got me quite excited with the Latin dancing talk.
You've got to come, I tell you. You'll have such fun.
Don't say that either. Well, are you inviting me? Are you suggesting a dancing threesome with you and your boyfriend? Is that what you're saying?
I think you ought to, yeah.
Interesting. It's the best invite I've had today. Certainly. I might join you.
I'm glad to know that.
Good. Now, I've got to take a break here.
Okay.
But I do want to carry on talking to you because I know you've got a sort of dumping someone by phone thing, which is curious now you've got a new boyfriend. So I'm going to talk to you about that, Lee.
No. I didn't have a dumping by phone thing. I had a really good story about petrol and diesel.
Oh, well, they've just told me the wrong information. Right, hang on then. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that after in a minute, all right?
Okay.
Stay there, Lee, and I want you to be dancing while you're waiting there.
Okay, I will do.
So when I come back to you, you better be dancing. All right, this is LBC 97. Pac-Man. 0.3.
If you've been declined life insurance...
Yeah, I wasn't ready. Got to come back to the desk now. I was walking over there. Anyway, yeah. Pac-Man for the radio. For the radio, we'll be playing in the next half an hour. If you want to play, 0870 90 90 973. The prize today, if you get the high score on Pac-Man... Pac-Man. She's on the ball, that Helen. For the radio. Available on DA. Are you dancing, Lee?
I'm dancing, I am, yes.
Go on, let me hear you dancing.
Tatum Muchetses in the car whilst driving.
You're doing what?
I'm tapping my tootsies in the car whilst driving.
I'm pretty sure you can't do that. Not unless you're patting them hands free.
Of course, I'm hands free.
Obviously.
Yeah.
You dance. What are you doing? Patting your what?
Tapping my tootsies.
Tapping your tootsies. I really had something else in my picture in my mind there, Lee. I'd got you down as quite a sensual woman, Lee. With your Latin.
You're very naughty tonight.
It's your fault. You ring up with your Latin dancing talk. Anyway, I'll have your boyfriend after me now. What were you going to tell me? What story of tale were you going to tell me?
Right, what it was, I work in Southend-on-Sea.
Yes.
And obviously I live in London. I borrowed my boyfriend's car because I had to move some stuff out of my flat.
Yep.
And he's got a four-seater, so I borrowed his car, drove to work at lunchtime, moved all my stuff.
Yep.
And then I thought, oh, it's running out of petrol. So I thought, might not get home, so I best top it up. Topped it up, drove all the way from Southend,
yep,
all the way up the A13,
yeah,
barking, stopped at light. I was, like, back in some traffic lights. It was, like, rush hour. And the car just conked out. I tried to start it. I'm in the back of this traffic queue, and it would not start.
Ooh.
It's gone green.
Your Alan Joyce's worst nightmare, you are.
Stuck in the middle of the A13.
Yeah.
By barking. And so I thought, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Tried to get out, tried to push it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't move at all. Everybody's, like, in rush hour. Nobody's stopping to help me. They're just bibbing and shouting and screaming at me. I phoned up my boyfriend. I was like, what do I do? And he goes, Lee, what have you done today? The car's never broken down before. So I said, look, I topped it out with petrol. And he goes, with what? And I went, with petrol
moment.
At lunchtime. He goes, Lee, it's a diesel. And I was like, oh, my God. Luckily, these guys stopped, helped me push it over to the side of the road. Well, actually, I didn't push. I was in the car.
Obviously, yeah.
They pushed it over to the side of the road.
Yeah.
And I had to wait for somebody to come out and fix it. So this is in peak rush hour, right? I got home at 1:30 in the morning.
Oh.
I'd left work at 4:30.
That's grim, isn't it?
Yes.
What did they do? Did they flush it clean?
They had to siphon it all out. They had to flush the whole lot clean. It then had to go back because they had to charge the battery and loads of stuff. Take it home. I had to take it to the garage the following week.
Yeah.
And it had to have filters changed and everything.
Now, is this your current boyfriend, or did the boyfriend's car you did that to just chuck you immediately for that?
No, it's the current one.
By text message.
Can you believe it? He's still with me after that.
But you must be great. It's probably the dancing. It's the dancing, Lee.
The dancing, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It is a good story. It is a good story. And for that, anyone who's just tuned in and going, why the hell are they talking about this? It was all to do with the file. Started being about bad DIY, but then my friend David done it 4 times, Lee, put the wrong...
Oh, my God.
Mad idiot.
I'd never ever do it again. Never.
But no, you learn, don't you? I even bought him... The garage got so annoyed with him, doing it all the time, they stuck a sticker on the side of his fuel cap that just says diesel only in massive letters. And I bought him you can buy an alarm that goes on the inside of a fuel cap, so when you open it, it just embarrass the people who own it, and he refuses to put it on his car, right? But I bought it for him anyway. And the idea is you put it on the fuel cap. When you open it, to put the thing in, it goes, diesel, 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 in a really loud way, which sort of says to everyone else in the petrol, in the garage, this person has cocked this up once before. Lee, thanks very much for calling. It was a pleasure talking to you.
And you.
No, more for me, I promise.
Yeah,
and if you do chuck your boyfriend by text message, call me back.
Bye.
Okay, thanks, Lee. Right, we're going to play Pac-Man for the radio. Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello, John.
How are you? Well?
I'm good. Very, very good. Thanks. How are you?
I'm all right today, actually. Thank you very much for asking. Friday nights, excellent. You know, weekend.
Yeah, I am hot to trot right now.
Are you? Are you going out tonight?
Nope.
Oh.
I'm staying in. I am going to get hammered.
On your own?
Absolutely.
It's quite sad, isn't it?
Because I've had people around my neck all week, and this is my...
This is your time now.
Off. It's MySpace.
Imagine... MySpace?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's MySpace. I'm not on MySpace,
no.
But it's MySpace.
I see what you mean. Actually, saying that, someone's just texted in to ask me what my website is, Bob.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what it is?
It's not the giant hogweed blogspot, is it, by any chance?
It's not that, no.
Damn,
see, it's not that. It's
was
just,
I close?
You were close. It's johnholmes.net. But people are spelling my name. People are going J-O-H-N. It's J-O-N, John.
So I will visit you.
Please do come on and visit.
I will.
Now, you want to play Pac-Man?
Yeah, I thought I would. I'll be hopeless, but never mind.
For the radio. Have you heard the show? Oh, well, I know you heard it. I spoke to you the day, but you heard Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell?
I was listening, yep, absolutely.
And Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War, Dark Crusade for the radio.
I think I heard a couple of those, yeah.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3, American Wasteland for the radio.
Yeah, you were doing that yesterday, I think. I heard that, yeah.
Today, though, we've nostalged. We've gone back to the 80s.
Absolutely. I had Pac-Man on the original Atari.
Every time we say that word, that noise seems to happen.
Okay.
You had it on the Atari, so you're going to be good at this.
No, I was useless, actually. My son, who was about 3, used to hammer me.
There you go. Not literally, I hope that'd be... right, so this is it. This is how we play, right? This is Pac-Man. Not for the Xbox, not for the Nintendo DS, Bob, but for the radio.
Okay.
This, I'm going to set the background for you. You, right, you are Pac-Man.
Okay.
You're a pointless, monotonous circle with a slice cut out for a mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You're trapped in a lame maze, and you must eat all of the dots that line your path.
Okay.
Once you've eaten all the dots, of course, you go to the next level. But here's the twist. Bob.
Yeah?
You're being chased by ghosts.
Yeah.
And orcs.
Yeah.
Terrorists.
Yeah.
And they're also civilians, cute zoo animals, and members of the Shadow Cabinet, Bob.
Mm.
You've got 5 controls.
Okay.
They are. Eat dot. Shoot. Don't shoot. Bang uselessly into wall of maze. Or argue about government's position on immigration.
Okay.
They're your controls. Are you ready to play Pac-Man?
I'm ready.
Okay. Here we go. It's not even the Pac-Man music, is it?
Not really, no.
No, it's sort of Axel F dance version with a siren on it. And some Pac-Man noises mixed over the top.
Yep, that's sweet.
Well, you know, well, it's, to be honest, this time on Friday, it's the best we could hope for, Bob, to be honest.
Okay.
Right, you ready to play?
Let's do it.
Here we go. Dot.
Eat dot.
Dot.
Eat dot.
Dot.
Eat dot.
Dot.
Eat dot.
Dot. It goes on for a while, this. Dot.
Eat dot.
Dot. Dot.
Dot.
Dot. Dot. Ghost.
Shoot.
Ghost.
Shoot.
Orc.
Pick up and use.
Orc.
Pick up and... Oh, sorry, orc.
Pick up and use isn't it one
orc.
Of the... Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc ghost.
Shoot.
That's double scary as well. Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Alan Duncan MP.
Boringly talking about immigration.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Otter.
Pick up and use.
It's not even one of the... Pick up and use is not even one of the controls today.
Sorry.
It's all right, don't worry about it. Ghost of an otter.
Shoot and bang uselessly into me.
Dot.
Eat dot.
Dot.
Eat dot.
Dot.
Eat
dot. Dot.
Dot.
Ring-tailed lemur.
Bang uselessly into me.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Ring-tailed orc.
Shoot.
Dr. Liam Fox, the Shadow Defence Secretary.
Blah, 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 immigration.
Dot. Dot.
Pick up and eat.
Dot.
Pick up and eat.
Ring-tailed Dr. Fox, Liam Fox, the Shadow Defence Secretary.
Bang uselessly into maze while he goes blah, blah, blah.
About immigration. Ghost of a dot.
Shoot.
Theresa May.
Blah, 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 immigration.
Fruit bat.
Bang uselessly
orc.
Into maze.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc driving through a zoo, and he's annoyed because the gibbons have nicked his car aerial.
Shoot everything.
Game over. We're going to come back and we're going to work out your score after this, Bob.
Okay.
Did you ever wish for somewhere that could help you create the best...
Bob.
Yes, sir.
Now then, I've got worked out your score on Pac-Man. For the radio.
Yep.
You got... 18 out of 20.
No.
That's not bad, is it?
Wow, double figures. I'm well impressed
that's
with that.
You did very well. It's very good. Did you know, by the way, apparently Ben Elton will be on Jenny Clare's show this Saturday?
Will he? Tomorrow morning,
that's right, yeah.
I'll have a listen if, because I go shopping on a Saturday and I always put the radio on.
Good.
And I've heard Jenny. I know Jenny, actually.
Do you?
Well, I'm boasting. I drove her once.
Where to?
She was doing a gig at Battersea Power Station, Christmas 97, I think it was.
Oh, right, okay.
And I was, those were my grim mini-cabbing days.
I see.
And I picked her up and took her somewhere.
Well, she'd got Ben Elton on tomorrow, apparently. I've got to just...
She's a very charming lady.
Yeah. Ben Elton's a nice fella.
I was a big fan of Ben Elton when he had that original show of his.
Yeah, when he was funny.
He's gone a bit commercial now, I think.
He's gone a bit weird, hasn't he?
He was very alternative at that time, which was good. I like that.
I'm sure he will be defending that position on Jenny's programme tomorrow.
Does she take calls, John, do you know?
Yeah.
Oh, she does. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I believe so.
Now, I might have a go.
Yeah, ring up. Have a go at Ben. Tell him he's not funny anymore. Now, you got that. Now, do you want to put your... That's the high score for today, and we're going to try and fit another game of Pac-Man in probably before 6 o'clock. Forgot that we're going to do that. However, do you want to put your initials in?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, have you got a middle name, Bob?
I do.
Right, okay, so I'm going to give
you... I've got two middle names.
Two middle names, right. I'm going to give you the alphabet four times, and for each initial you need to tell me to stop when you get to the right letter. Yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
This is your first name. A, B, C, D,
stop.
D, yeah, D. this is for your second, this is for your middle, first middle name. A, B, C.
Stop.
C.
Well, it's not, it's A, but...
Well, you didn't say stop. Okay, you ready? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, he's gone. Ah, his batteries run out. Well, that was Bob then. He did get the high score on Pac-Man, with his initials DC. If you want to play Pac-Man, we'll probably squeeze another one in. 0870-9090-973. Excellent price today. We're giving away a Cracker Jack. What are we giving away, Chris?
Crackerjack.
Yeah. So, if you want to win a Crackerjack...
Crackerjack.
0870-9090-973. Meanwhile, Josie's on the telephone. Hello.
Hello there.
How are you?
Your cabby driver, or the guy in the back of the cab.
Mystery, the mystery quiz?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you want... Have you... loads of people have been entering this, playing it.
I reckon. I'd probably bet about 100%.
Oh, let's have a listen.
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
You're saying that Barry from EastEnders is in the back of the cab.
Definitely.
You're absolutely right, Jessie. That's exactly
fantastic.
Who it was. You have won. You have won a... Do you know what the prize is?
No, I don't know.
It's brilliant.
What
is it? It's a all-expenses-paid trip.
Yeah.
For two.
Oh, my God. What is it? Where to?
A mountain-climbing holiday up Clive Bull. You've got... We will fly you to Clive Bull.
Where is that?
Well, just through there. You get a 5-star hotel overlooking him and a Sherpa guide on day two. You'll begin your climb. You'll make base camp on his approach.
Oh, my
And then
God.
You will conquer his difficult north face. All equipment is included, including ropes, crampons.
I don't have to slide down any crevices.
No, you don't. No, you do. You want to stay well away from Clive Ball's crevices. helmet and spear gun. You get a cast iron guarantee that if you do die during the attempt, we will fly your body home and put it in a skip.
Oh, fantastic.
How good is that as a prize? Congratulations, Josie. Thank you very much for playing that. That's brilliant.
Okay, thanks very much.
You have won that, so that was worth it. Yes, it was Barry from EastEnders all along. This was the thing.
Guess who's in the back of my cab?
It was Barry from EastEnders. Brilliant. Well done, Josie. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you. Right, can we get another game of Pac-Man in before? Yes, we can. Hello.
Hi.
God. Hello.
Hi.
Who are you?
I'm Vidya.
Vidya?
Yeah.
Excellent. Spell that for me.
V-I-D-Y-A.
Correct. So, where are you calling from, Vidya?
From the city.
From what city?
London.
Okay. Whereabouts?
By Tower Bridge.
By Tower Bridge, in the heart of the city of London. How old are you, Vidya?
Yeah. I'm 14.
14. And you work in the city, do you?
Yeah, I go to school there.
Stockbroker?
What, sorry?
Stockbroker.
I wish.
Are you not one of those?
No.
Are you planning to be?
Not particularly.
What do you want to do when you grow up?
I want to be a fusion violinist.
A fusion violinist?
Yeah,
mixture
of Indian and Western violin.
That's very impressive, Vidya. Do you play the violin? Because that's going to help.
Yeah, I play both.
That's a good... Both violins, both sorts.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Otherwise, I was going to say, you know, hiding to nothing, really. When you said a fusion violinist, I thought it was something where, I hadn't heard of, where perhaps genetics had been mixed with orchestration. I thought, you know, you were coming along and it was where, you know, you'd perhaps discovered a new gene, but at the same time, you know, you were in the string section of an orchestra. That's what I thought fusion violinist might be. But you've put me straight with you. Anyway, you want to play Pac-Man, don't you?
Yes, please.
Oh, God! They keep doing that. We've got to take a quick break video, but we will be playing that game after we've done that. But you know you can be with a chance of winning, because Bob got cut off anyway. So, and okay. You know what the prize is today?
No.
It's a Cracker Jack.
Okay.
Cracker Jack.
Thanks, Chris. We'll be right back playing Pac-Man with video. Any sec now.
British Airways low winter fares are here, but the clock's ticking. Go to ba.com by midnight.
John Holmes. And Vidya.
Hi.
Hooray. Right, then. You're 14, you go to school in the city, you're a stockbroker, and you experiment with genetics and orchestras. Well, you want to play Pac-Man?
Yes, please.
On the radio. And so we shall, Vidya. Okay, right, I'm going to set it up for you. You are Pac-Man?
Yes.
You are Pac-Man. Oh, I'll say it again. You're a pointless and monotonous circus. Shut up, stop it. With a slice cut out for a mouth, Vidya. You are trapped in a lame maze. Do you remember that game, Vidya?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, good. Right, because you're not old enough to remember that game, are you, really?
I know it, and
okay,
kind of.
That's fine. All right. You must eat the dots, then, that lie in your path. Once you've eaten all the dots, right, you can go to the next level. But here's the twist, Vidya. You're being chased by ghosts.
Okay.
And orcs.
Right.
And terrorists. There are also civilians, cute zoo animals, and members of the Shadow Cabinet.
Okay.
Five controls. Eat dot, shoot, don't shoot, bang uselessly into wall, or argue about government's position on immigration. Are you ready to play?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Music rubbish. Dot. Dot.
Eat dot.
Dot.
Eat dot.
Dot.
Eat dot.
Dot.
Eat dot.
Dot.
Eat dot.
Ghost.
Shoot.
Ghost.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc. Ghost.
Shoot. Shoot.
Alan Duncan MP.
Immigration.
Terrorist.
Sheep.
Otter.
What, sorry?
Otter. Small baby otter.
Point into maze, don't you?
Ghost of an otter.
Sheep.
Dot. Dot.
E-dot.
Dot.
E-dot.
Dot.
E-dot.
Ring-tailed lemur.
Don't you?
Dr. Liam Fox, Shadow Defence Secretary.
Immigration.
Ring-tailed Dr. Liam Fox, Shadow Defence Secretary.
Don't
see. Dot, 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 dot,
dot. E dot.
Keys from Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell earlier in the week.
What?
Never mind. Ghost.
Sheep.
Ghost.
Sheep.
Ghost.
Sheep.
Tiger cub.
Don't see.
Ghost petting a tiger cub.
Sheep.
Ghost heavy petting a tiger cub. That's a bit weird.
Sheep.
Orc. Orc driving through a zoo and annoyed because gibbons have nicked his car aerial. Gibbon.
Don't shoot.
Oliver Letwin.
Immigration.
Dot.
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 Dot. David Cameron.
Immigration.
David Cameron driving through a zoo and annoyed because Shadow Secretary for Rural State Affairs and Rural and Environment and Food, Peter Ainsworth, has nicked his car aerial.
Immigration.
Game over. Congratulations, Vidya.
Thank you.
You got 20 out of 20.
20 out of 20.
That's the high score, Vidya.
Thank you very much.
Do you want to put your initial in?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X. What? X.
Me.
Right, your initial is X. Well done, Vidya. We put the initial X in. Congratulations, you are the winner on Pac-Man.
Thank you very much.
For the radio. It was lovely talking to you. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay, enough to go away now. News is next. We're opening the phone lines after this. And I'm glad the microphone wasn't live just then when I said that. Okay, it is LBC 97.3. This is the last half an hour of the show, last half an hour of my week sitting in for Ian. I've had a very lovely time. Thank you for all your pleasant texts and even some of your unpleasant ones. It's been very nice. Now the phones, again, against my better judgment, are now open. The phones are burst wide. 0870 90 90 973 for half an hour, where you just come straight through to air without any vetting, which is a stupid idea, but we're saddled with it. So, let battle commence. Yes.
Is this your last evening?
It is my last evening for the time being. It's nice when that happens. Oh. Yes. Hello. Hello? It's Vidya and her fusion violining. Or it's the band Manowar from the beginning of the show. And earlier, when I did say, by the way, that I'd seen Manowar and that the bass player is a big fat man that fired fireworks out of the end of his bass, I messed up. That's not Manowar, that was Mama's Boys. My fault entirely. Get rid of that call. That doesn't do anything. Next caller, please. Yep. That's kind of wasting everyone's time, that is. Just putting the phone down when we put them through the air. Yeah, hello?
John, it's Simon.
Simon! You all right? You all right there?
Hello?
Hello, are you all right?
Yeah, yourself?
Yeah, fine, thank you. You found any love since yesterday?
Nah, still on the lookout.
Still on the lookout. Lee was on earlier. She does dancing. She sounded quite foxy, but she's got a boyfriend. But turned out she'd probably be up for a threesome for dancing purposes.
Oh, excellent.
So, you know, well, I'm in there, but you could...
Like
you could go in and be the fourth one, maybe.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Mm. Had a nice day?
Yeah, it's all right, actually.
Good.
You know?
Good. Yeah, all right. Thanks. Yeah, not bad.
It's your last show of the week.
It is of the week, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I would just like to say, I've really enjoyed this week listening to you.
What a lovely, kind man you are, Simon.
And I am looking forward to seeing you on Thursday.
Oh, you're coming on Thursday, are you?
Oh, yes.
Now I'm going
to be the one heckling you from the background.
You're not allowed to do that. It's radio recording. I'll throw you out.
Damn.
Thanks for plugging it, though. That's right. I'm live in a theatre in London next Thursday night, free for BBC Radio 4. Website details. Right. Hello. Next. Yes.
Hello.
Hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
You need your own show on LBC.
Sorry, say again?
You need your own show on LBC.
Do you think?
Yes.
Well, that's very kind of you.
I don't think I know.
Why do you know?
Just because you do some funny games. Top stuff.
Top stuff game. Did you hear Vidya win Pac-Man for the radio?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that. Is it on a podcast at all?
Is it what, sorry?
Is it on a podcast?
Let's find out. Chris, is that going to be on the podcast?
Yes.
Yes, it is going to be on the podcast. Cameron, you can have a listen to that in your own leisurely time.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. But I appreciate your kind words.
Yes.
I think you should have your own show as well. Anyway, next. Yes, hello?
All right, mate.
I'm fine, thank you. Can you turn your radio down a little bit for me? Thank you very much.
Yeah, no probs.
Good work. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad.
Good. Nice day.
Hey, it's your last show, yeah?
It's the last show of the week, yeah.
Oh, thank God for that.
Hey! Funny man. I love it. Go on, next one, yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
Get rid of it. Next, it's only going to be the fusion genetic violin again. Next, yes, hello.
John, hi.
Hello.
Hello.
What are you?
I'm male.
You're a man, are you a man one?
I think so.
Good, fine.
John, when are you back on LBC next?
When am I back next? I don't know.
We need you, man. We need you, seriously.
How kind of you to say. Yeah.
Well, is my check in the post?
Yeah, it is now, yeah. Thanks very much. Okay. All I can say to you there is, watch this space. Literally, this one. Right, that's our next. Go on, next. Hello, yes.
Hi, John Mucker, how are you, pal?
I'm good, thank you. Mucker, yeah?
I need your help, man. Right, it's Friday night.
It is Friday night.
Pizza, Chinese, Indian, what do you reckon?
Pizza, Chinese, Indian. I would go tonight for, if it was me, I'd say pizza night tonight.
Yeah?
Yep, I'd have a pizza. I'd order, if I were you, I'd ring, why don't you ring a pizza place and confuse them?
Okay.
Right? Ring them up and ask for, say you want, ask them if they do racist pizzas, right? And then say, right, I want a big, thick Hawaiian.
Uh-huh.
A dirty French.
Okay.
A stinky German and a tiny, thin and crispy Malawian like Madonna's.
Sounds good.
There you go.
Cheers, John.
I'm glad I've helped. Right, next call, please, yes.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go on.
Would you rather rule in hell or serve in heaven?
Rule in hell or serve in well, rule in hell, obviously, don't even think about that.
Is okay, now that's cool.
Is that the right
Thank
answer?
Thank you very much.
I would like to be king of hell. That's what I'd like. I'd like that as a job. King of hell. I would rule with a rod. With a rod. Possibly Michael Rod, who used to present Screen Test on children's television.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, who's that?
Does that mean?
Is what? What?
Pat. It's Pat.
I didn't say anything. Next caller, please. Hello.
Hello, John.
Hello there.
Hello. I was listening earlier and I heard a woman talking about she's putting petrol in her diesel engine.
That's right.
Right, well, I work for a manufacturer, a main dealer.
Yep.
A manufacturer, and you'd be surprised the amount of people that do this kind of thing.
Right, it happens a hell of a lot, you're saying?
Yeah, we get possibly one or two cars a week that come into us that have had people put in the wrong fuel.
God, is it more men or more women? Because it turned out to be more men this afternoon that were doing it.
Most definitely is more men.
Excellent, good.
Women are obviously a lot more cleverer.
Definitely, a lot more cleverer, yes, I think they probably are.
But what I would like to say is you said that they're stupid people who do this.
I did say that, yeah.
Well, I actually think they're very clever people.
Go on, and for why?
Because when they do this, they come into our dealership and they spend a lot of money with us because we charge them a lot of money to put it right.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah.
Do you? Someone texted this in and said, it's actually a really simple problem to do and you don't need to replace anything. The garages just do it to rip people off and tell you you need a whole new fuel system. Is that what happens?
No, that's not what happens.
Isn't it?
Well, the worst case scenario is when you put petrol in a diesel engine.
Right.
Especially if it's like a fuel injection or it's a turbocharged engine.
Because it fires it right through.
Yeah, and 99% of the time when you do that, it damages a component such as the diesel injection pump
or
the turbo. And if it does that,
you
could be looking at anything from £1,000 upwards.
£1,000?
Yeah, to £2,000, £3,000, £4,000 even, depending on the car.
It's an expensive mistake, isn't it?
A very expensive mistake, but for the motor trade, it's an excellent thing for people to do.
I bet it is, because you can charge what you like.
We love them.
You love it.
Absolutely love them to be.
If it wasn't for idiots, there'd be no motor trade, I say.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. Just what we want.
Yeah, okay.
This is your last day today, isn't it?
This is your last moment to speak.
The last train to Hemel Hempstead, Cordons.
Phone lines, of course, open, 0870909. Just very quickly, I mentioned earlier of a new version of Paul Simon's 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, because it doesn't really work in this technological day and age, especially, you know, we live in a time when the fat singer Britney Spears dumped her pointless FedEx boyfriend, whatever his name is, by text. And, so it doesn't work. Just slip out the back, Jack, make a new plan, Stan, don't need to be coy, Roy. Just doesn't work anymore for the modern world of dumping people. And I said, you know, what would be good as a modern equivalent? And brilliantly, Annette Ray has emailed in with this. How about this as a new version? Download the Kaiser Chiefs Every Day I Love You Less and Less onto her iPod, Rod. Book a single one-way ticket to Iraq, Jacques. Spend 13 weeks in the Big Brother house and publicly humiliate her by getting off with a busty blonde chav, Rav. Kick off her false leg and run away, Paul. Modern version of 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover there by Annette Ray. Philip, hello.
Hi, hey. Arnie Ginsberg telling you
He's
that
Adventure
Car Hot presents for the first time anywhere, the Ginsberger. That's right, the Ginsberger is now being served at Adventure Car Hop. I designed it, I planned it, I tested it, but you're going to eat it, and what a delicious...
His sound effects are worse than yours, Helen.
Adventure Car Hop is serving the Ginsberger on a record which you keep for your very own. If you say woo-woo Ginsberg with your order, you get another Ginsberger free of charge.
I love
how can you miss?
Philip's got all this stuff.
Stop out.
Brilliant.
Adventure Car Hop, Route 1, inside...
Oh, I'm fed up with it now. Good. Right, thanks. Net, yep, you, what?
Comrades.
Yes.
The Albanian people are proud that their people's republic is marching shoulder to shoulder with the army of the revolutionary peoples of the whole world, advancing in the forefront of the struggle against the forces of imperialism, reaction and revisionism,
say this sort
and
of stuff.
Making its modest contribution.
We open the lines. This is what happens. This is what I did say. I did warn you. I said if we open the phone lines, mentals will come on and read stuff out, or play
of Albania,
music
led by
at us down the phone. They'll just go, is it your last day? Good. Stuff like that. They'll just come on. An example, right? Idiot. You've opened up it up to idiots, right? Get rid of this. Get rid of that. Put the next one on. Watch what happens. Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
You all right?
This is Peter.
Hello.
Is that you, John?
Yep.
Goody good. I'd just like to say you're doing an absolutely wonderful job.
I'll take it all back. See, this one's good. Yeah.
Can you dump Ian Lee and do the programme yourself in future?
Yeah, go on then.
Thank you very much indeed.
No problem. Thanks very much.
Goodbye.
Bye. So, it didn't work. I thought it was just being nutter, but actually it was all right. Let's see what this one's like. Hello.
Hello, John. How are you?
See, someone else who's normal. You're normal as well.
Oh, I certainly am normal.
Excellent. So I like that.
I just wanted to say that since you've been on the radio this week, I've actually lost 2 stone in weight.
Have you?
At the gym, yeah.
That's very... I don't really see the connection, but I'm glad to have helped.
Well, when's Ian Lee back?
I don't know.
It couldn't come a moment too soon, John.
Yeah. Funny guys. I like this. What's it got to do with the gym? I really don't... I don't understand that at all. I mean, I like the idea that I might be contributing to a calorie-controlled diet somehow. Just by speaking, I like that. That's fine. Go on. Weird or not weird?
Hello?
Slightly weird.
Not weird.
Okay.
Just want to let you know.
Yep. Are you going to have a go at me as well?
No, I'm not going to have a go at you at all.
Okay.
I just want you to know and let your listeners know.
Yep.
After the show today, bored with, what's your name, John Holmes?
After the show what?
After the show, over to your show today.
Yes.
Go on the internet, yep. www.hrm.org.uk. Listen to my show online, D Green, Hospital Radio Maidstone.
Hospital Radio Maidstone?
Better than LBC.
I can't wait to hear this. Hospital Radio. Now, I used to do Hospital Radio.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, can't you tell? Because I've really progressed, haven't I? with my professionalism, I got fired.
You got fired?
Yeah.
From a voluntary job?
That's right. That's how good I am. See?
Cool.
Yeah. I accidentally played a record. You know the rules on Hospital Radio, you'll know this. You're not allowed to play records that talk about death and stuff.
Well, it's funny you saying that. I had one last night that said, knocking on heaven's door.
There you go. You're not allowed to play that. Stay Away to Heaven, not allowed.
We did.
I used to get told off for doing that. So I compiled a top 10 of records you can't play on Hospital Radio and then did a records you can't play on Hospital Radio top 10 chart show.
Cool.
I got fired.
Nice one. Got any jobs on LBC? I need some money.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few coming up, actually. I don't think Chris is going to last much longer, because he let me down all week. He didn't get him a Bunton.
Where's Ian, anyway?
I asked him to.
Is he off gallivanting again?
He's gallivanting, is what he is. He's back on Monday, though.
Why don't you sack him?
Why don't they sack him?
Yeah.
They can't. He's so rich, he bought the whole station. He can do what he likes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, cool.
All right. Good luck with Hospital Radio. Very worthwhile institution. If you like talking to half-dead people. Next caller, please. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Yes. I'd just like to say, stir it up, that I think Nick Griffin's right.
Okay. What? Right. Why do you think he's gone? Oh, I was going to get into some sort of heated racial debate there. You know, why not for the last 2 minutes of a programme that's essentially to do with toilets and putting petrol in cars? You know, it seemed right now to bring in a sort of serious discussion about race hate. Anyway, yeah, next, yes?
Hello, John?
Yep.
It's Ralph from Kenley phoning. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you, Ralph from Kenley?
I'm fine. I don't want to sound disloyal to Ian, but I think you're doing a good job standing in.
What a kind man you are.
No, you're good in your own right, and I just feel sad for these people that are saying otherwise, because... You know, it's a good show. You do a good show, mate.
I see. You're lovely. I'm glad you got put through. That's very kind of you to say. And I like you're the yin to the yang of the person who rang up a minute ago and had a go at me.
Oh, well, why? Well, how silly is that? How, you know, it's childish. You're doing a good job. And I look forward to hearing you later on, hopefully doing your own show.
Oh, well, how kind of you.
Along with Ian, because Ian is equally as good.
Yes,
I've spoken to Ian over the last couple of years since he's been on.
Yep.
And, You know, he's good,
yep.
And you are good, my friend.
Well, you see, you're lovely.
You take care. You have a nice weekend.
Thank you, I will, and you, sir. That's very
nice. Thank you very much.
What a lovely,
bye-bye.
Lovely man. See, they're not all mad, all weird. Some of them are just polite. Nice. LBC listeners are a discerning bunch, Chris. They're a discerning bunch of intelligent listeners. Listen. Hello?
I'm not discerning.
Are you not?
No.
Oh.
Listen, John.
Yeah?
I'll tell you, it's not fair of all these people ringing out Ian Lee fans saying that you're no good and all that. Don't get me wrong, I'm an Ian Lee fan.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
When you used to do a really late programme on a different radio show, didn't you?
On a different station?
Yeah.
Yeah, a few years ago.
I used to go night fishing, mate. I'll tell you what, right, I used to listen to you.
Yeah.
And sometimes I used to reel the rods in. You used to have me in stitches, mate, so... Don't listen to everyone else, mate. You're a top man. You carry on.
Thank you very much. I'm glad I made you reel a rod in. That's, something I've always wanted to do. I've made people lose weight this week, and I used to make a man reel his own rod in, which, that's gone to the top of my CV. We're running out. We've never had time, aren't we? Caller, yes.
John, this is Evening Standard Man.
Hello, Evening Standard Man.
If you wasn't doing a good job, none of them lunatics would have been listening to you.
You're right, you know, they do listen, don't they?
Good job. Well done, mate.
Oh, see, this is turning into a bit of a... It's my last 2 minutes on air, and it's turning into a sort of nice love fest. Everyone's been kind to each other. That's not... makes me feel kind of warm inside. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, who are you?
Hello, it's Samantha here.
Hello, Samantha here.
Hello.
Are you well?
I'm very well.
Good, I'm glad.
You?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, good. Listen, yeah. I know it's really, really hard to fill in for somebody else, but you really have done a sterling job. I've been listening to you, and you've had me in stitches as well. So it's not just...
Not physically, actually. Not physically in stitches, because let's not suggest...
It's hospital radio,
well, exactly. Let's not suggest for a moment. I don't want people thinking I've come round and, cut you up or something. That's not what's happened. But...
not at all. But you've done a sterling job filling in for Ian, and next time he goes away, I'm pretty sure they're going to be calling you back to fill in for again.
Thank you very much. Honestly, that's it. That's the last 20 seconds of the programme, and I didn't invite that, but thank you very much for calling. Ian is back on Monday, of course, who knows what might happen in the future. 08709090973 is LBC's number, and its frequency, by the way, is LBC 97.3. I was John Holmes. Nightly News is next. The Chevrolet Calon.